much about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Gentlemen, please, the meeting is called to order and we need quiet, not a riot. Otherwise, we can't proceed. Have any questions or any suggestions that you'd like to make today? Or if you have a notion to offer a motion, let's hear what you have to say.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Oh, there it is. You could win $97.1 for the cool weekend ahead.
We have a butt. We have a butt.
Cool weekends in the morning, 97.1 FM.
Cool weekends in the morning with Weedy and the Butt.
WQHG 97.1.
We have a butt.
In the morning, cool weekends.
FM.
Weedy.
And the Butt. And welcome back.
And now.
That's how we do.
Our feature presentation.
Very afraid that's basically on us.
Does not I would listen to Weenie the Butt.
Does not make me happy. Am I Weenie or the Butt? I'd like to be Weenie.
I claimed Weenie.
Oh,
sorry.
It's not fair.
You are stuck being the Butt. I'm sorry to say. Hey, we're just lucky Weenie and the Butt aren't real and aren't on opposite us because they have all the listeners.
They do. That's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, reports of his demise were exaggerated. Kevin did not die in a party bus accident in the Valley last week.
Man, did a lot of people think that was funny.
Well, I mean, when you see somebody die in a party bus falling out of a moving vehicle, of course we thought it was you. How could we not?
It's not me, no.
I just feel like everything you've done up till this point prepared us for that's how you were going to go, was dying in a party bus.
But you don't, that's not a party. There's no moment of party happening there if you're getting off while it's moving.
No, it's a terrible way to go.
That's not how you want to go.
But we were pleased to see that it actually wasn't you. How was your vacation?
It's not me. It was good. Thank you.
Did you go to Las Vegas this weekend?
I did. I went to Vegas.
See some hockey?
Frozen Fury, 2 games. Love it. Hockey's back, finally. So I'm excited.
Doesn't it just seem like hockey left? Didn't it seem like the offseason was like 3 weeks?
Ever.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm not a big baseball fan. And
no,
that's really
that.
Kind of all you have. I have soccer. I like that. But,
right, and you had football for the last 4 weeks,
yes,
too. So,
but when it's just baseball, it's deadly.
Okay. Well, before we get started telling you about today's all-new Kevin Abeen Show, we got a good one for you. There's two stories in the news that both involve relationships and social media. And I'm sure by now most people have heard about the woman who has to make 300 sandwiches before her boyfriend will propose to her. Apparently she makes awesome sandwiches. She's making him a turkey and cheese on country white. And he said to her, "This sandwich is awesome. You are only 300 sandwiches away from an engagement ring." And she took that as a guarantee. And she started making sandwiches like a mofo. And she has been documenting it at 300sandwiches.com. She, by the way, is a very successful, very attractive New York Post reporter.
Wait, hold on. So there's a website I can go to and I can watch a woman make a sandwich?
I don't know that. I don't think there's video on it, but she does write about each sandwich that she makes and how it was received.
Great use of the internet.
And we may have too much room on the internet. And she has just been lambasted, as you can imagine, by women who think that what she's doing is terrible and degrading and how could you and whatnot. But she says she's got a great relationship and she enjoys making the sandwiches and her boyfriend likes him and she just thinks it's awesome. So she's happy.
It's going to be the best when she gets to 300 and they break up, though. I mean, when he's like, "All right, I've used your services. Thank you. No longer needed."
Why stick around? You got all the sandwiches out. All right, so that's 300sandwiches.com. That's thing A. Thing B is Sonia Gore and her husband Ivan Lewis have had a very rocky relationship. He has cheated on her several times before. They have been on and off estranged for the past 2 years, but they were doing pretty well here recently when he cheated on her again. So she did what any jilted woman would do. She forced him to put up a Facebook photo of himself holding a sign that reads, and I'm looking at the photo, "I cheated on my wife and she was ugly."
Oh, wow.
Now she says she will get back together with her husband as soon as that photo gets 10,000 likes. So that's where the balance of the relationship is hanging right now.
What?
I have to get 10,000 likes before she takes me back.
See, both of these stories are ridiculous. If I'm the girl, I'm like, either ask me to marry you or not. Don't put it on 300 sandwiches. And for him, you know it's not going to be a good relationship, even if they get 10,000 likes for that.
Well, they're up over 5,000 likes, by the way. So he is more than halfway to redemption. But that's happening right now, too. So there you go. So because relationships couldn't happen without Facebook and Twitter and blogs, right?
There's that. And people are dumb.
Well,
there's that, too.
If those kids can't make it, who can? That's what I want to know.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm going to kill your mother.
Why don't you tell us about the show, Bean, since I wasn't here to plan it.
And you now can't read?
Nope.
All right. Well, first of all, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is going to be joining us like he do in the 6 o'clock hour. We got What's Up with Florida on the program today. The beautiful Kat Dennings will be joining us from Two Broke Girls.
Oh, that show's still
so
on,
much.
Huh?
That show is still on and very popular. Just came back last week.
Did you say you love her so much?
You know I love Kat Dennings so much.
I know, but it just occurred to me how awkward that's going to be now.
Last time we had her on, I remember telling her how intimidated I was by her and how scary she seemed. And I was on my very best behavior, and she handled it very well. She was very, very nice.
That's your memory?
Yes, that's my memory. All right. Also, we want to hear from you today. I don't know that we've done this before, but we want to hear from you. Beer Mug, listen up. The craziest things that you ever did to lose weight. There are some insane diets out there. And I saw an article last week that we'll talk about later on today about what models do to stay in Victoria's Secret shape. Eating cotton balls, for instance, is one way that they try to keep their weight down.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that.
There's a woman,
cotton balls.
There's more than one woman who had teeth removed to make their face look thinner.
Wow.
How's that for crazy things to lose weight? And I'm sure lots of insane diets, too, that people have tried. And sometimes they even work. So we got
that isn't good for you.
Well, that's true. Andrew Siciliano in studio with us today, recapping the NFL weekend. You know, our new policy on this program since the season began is that only winners get wings. So, Kevin, you're allowed to talk all you want about football today.
Thank you.
Chip is still carrying over a high from her Dolphins win last week. We'll see how her team does tonight. I was a winner this week. Can't hear much from Ralph Garman this week.
Oh, yeah.
He's not allowed to say very much. So if that's how that goes, we'll talk all things NFL with Andrew Siciliano.
Not many other teams in the NFL have the high power offense of the Arizona Cardinals putting up 13 on the board.
That's right.
How do they do it?
And our old friend Jack Black stops by today. He is not allowed to use the restrooms here at K-Rock, but he is coming in with a couple of very funny young ladies who have a web series called Ghost Girls. Jack is the executive producer of that. He's the one who brought it to Yahoo.com, and it's very, very funny. They're going to be coming up. Plus, what are we giving away today? Let me see. We got Not Scary Farm tickets on the program today, tickets to something called Festival Supreme, which is that huge comedy show with Tenacious D and Patton Oswalt and so much more. And we got Galaxy tickets as they take on Shivas USA. All of that and Ralph Showbiz Beat next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Remember when Metallica headlined the Weenie Roast? You remember that, Beer Mug, a few years ago?
They put on an awesome show.
No, they never fail to disappoint. It's unbelievable.
That's right. That was a moment with Bean.
They never fail to disappoint. Every time they're on stage, they disappoint the audience. It's good work by Metallica.
With you out, I had to step up last week and provide a couple of new moments with. And, happy to say I did that. Hey, Ralph Garman, Monday morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Thank you so much. It is Monday morning. That's why we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. See what people went to see in the Cineplexes over the weekend. Turns out, many of them went to see Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. They grabbed the kids, threw them in the back of the Town and Squire station wagon, and hauled them off to the movie theaters. $35 million made it number one this weekend.
Wow.
Second at the box office was Prisoners, $11.3 million. That's that Hugh Jackman story.
Oh, right.
Everyone's very raving about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard a lot of people say they loved it.
Rush, in its wide release debut, made $10.3 million. Underperformed a little bit, that F1 race movie. Baggage Claim, in its debut, made $9.3 million. What's that?
Wait,
got me, son.
Baggage Claim.
I got nothing for you.
That's a the movie?
That's a thing, that's apparently. A thing? And it's fourth at the box office.
We didn't talk about that one on Friday at all, right?
No, we did not.
This one came out of nowhere.
It sure did. So I'm guessing it's got to be Spanish speaking or religious or something that's coming out of left field that people are going to go see.
That's exactly what it is. It's an all black movie with Tay Diggs, Jill Scott, Jimin Hansu. Paula Patton is in it, though.
I knew it had to be some niche audience film that whatever particular group is going to see en masse.
And they're just waiting for their luggage for the whole movie?
That's it. Just waiting around the carousel, just looking to see where... I think I tied some yarn to my handle. It's not an interesting film. Don John, the new Joseph Gordon-Levitt film, debuted to $9 million, made it number 5. Then Insidious Chapter 2, Instructions Not Included, We Are the Millers, The Butler, and Enough Said. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Zac Efron claims to have said bye-bye to cocaine. He's been very quiet in the news since he checked into rehab not once but twice this year for a serious nose candy habit. But they say he's doing really well. He recently released some photos on Hoosay of him looking quite happy on a mountaintop in Peru. Well, if you want to kick cocaine, what better place to go than Peru?
Isn't that the cocaine capital of the world?
Wait a minute, that's right. Yes, that happens to be the hometown of cocaine. So if you have a coke problem and you want a vacation, why not go to Peru?
Wow.
Photos of him on a mountaintop in Peru. Unfortunately, it's a mountain of cocaine.
No, I just happened to be in Peru. What are you guys suggesting?
They do what here? What a coinkity. Well, we're talking about drugs. Daniel Radcliffe has sworn off drinking. He quit drinking, he said. He has found another way to ease his stress. You may think yoga, Pilates. Sure. No, he's taken up smoking pot. He says now he smokes a lot of pot and he doesn't drink anymore. So... that's better.
Right.
That's better.
I think so, too.
Hey, you want to own a little piece of Hollywood history? Well, you'll be happy to know that Bob Hope's home in Toluca Lake, California has finally hit the market. Wouldn't you like to stay in Bob Hope's house? Wouldn't you like to own Bob Hope's house?
Kevin and I have been there.
We have?
We have.
Bob Hope's house.
We visited him, interviewed him, obviously, a few years ago now. He's been gone a while, but saw his memorabilia. Remember he had his Oscars out and everything?
Nope.
Yeah, how about that Oscar? Huh?
That's right, something. Exactly.
Yeah.
It was, if I recall correctly, it was a ridiculously nice house.
Quite a piece of property, Bean. It boasts 15,000 square feet of living space.
Wow.
8 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, an indoor pool and spa, a guest home, plenty of room to relax on 5 acres of land in Toluca Lake. Imagine owning 5 acres of land in the middle of Toluca Lake.
Toluca Lake. Wow.
All this can be yours.
Yes, how much?
For a budget-friendly number of... you want to take a guess? Any?
$100,000.
Wow, Kevin. You have been out of the real estate market maybe just a little bit longer than the rest
of us. Don't be ridiculous, Kevin. That's at least $500,000. 5 acres in Toluca Lake?
All right. A Gilligan on the island doesn't understand real estate in California either. $27.5 million.
Yay!
Wow.
Yeah.
At one time, Ralph, didn't Bob own most of Toluca Lake? He owned all that land around NBC, and he ended up selling some of it off to a tremendous profit. Because he held on to it for decades.
He and Bing Crosby, apparently back in the, I guess, 30s, 40s, when they were stars, there was no valley. There was nothing going on in the valley but just trees, just orange trees, basically. So Bob Hope, and I think Crosby, too, bought up a ton of land throughout Burbank and Toluca Lake and Valley Village and the... Studio City area, and then as years went on, as this started to develop, just sold it off at enormous profits, and that's how they made majority of their big money. So
that's right.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate that.
Absolutely, absolutely. That ain't bad either.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that bad. You made a lot of money, did you, Bob?
Yes, something.
Sure is.
Actually,
money is something, Bob. And big TV news over the weekend: ABC has announced they're looking into spinning off Modern Family.
But Modern Family's still on.
Spinning off. But they're going to do a spin-off. They've done that before. Where it's like Happy Days was still on when Laverne and Shirley spun off into its own series.
Who would they spin it off?
Well, they're not going to spit it off. They're going to spin off Rob Riggle's character, Gil Thorpe, who plays Ty Burrell's arch nemesis, real estate dealer on that show.
He's done
a couple episodes. I think his character is funny enough that he would spin him off into his own series about his attempt to be a successful real estate agent. So, Riggle's a funny dude, too. So, we'll see what happens.
All right.
And you'll all be very, very happy to hear that Unforgettable has been extended for a third season.
Oh, that's so...
that's right.
What?
Unforgettable.
I'm sorry, what?
The series with Poppy Montgomery on CBS, the procedural.
I don't remember that one at all.
I don't even know what that is.
She has a photographic memory. She has total recall. She doesn't forget anything.
And that's on TV?
That's a TV show.
On a channel I get?
CBS.
Huh.
Was she in Baggage Claim?
Oh, you guys don't understand. It was canceled after the first season.
Okay.
And then they brought it back for a second season this summer, and the ratings were so good, around 8.2 million viewers per episode, that they've renewed it for a third series.
But it's ironically named, right?
Unforgettable. Yes, it is ironically named. Today's celebrity birthdays. Here's the story about a man named Brady. Barry Williams, the eldest of the Brady boys. Greg Brady, he is 59 years old today. Eric Stoltz turns 52. Monica Bellucci. Hey, how you go, Monica? Still so hot at 49. Actor Tony Hale is 43. Jenna Elfman turns 42 years old. Lacey Chabert.
There you go.
He's 31. Kieran Culkin of the acting Culkin family turns 31. And rapper T-Pain. That was your nickname in college, wasn't it, Kevin? T-Pain?
Yes, it was.
He's 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us from the newsroom in minutes to talk about the extraordinary lengths Kanye West is going to avoid LAX. You're not going to believe it. First, though, Friday, I'm out running around, Kevin, and I think, hey, I'll tune in and hear what our friend Pat O'Brien is talking about on the show. You know, he's got that Fox Sports radio show. We always make fun of how much he drops celebrity names.
Sure.
I'm listening less than a minute, and he's doing a commercial for e-cigarettes.
Okay.
Which I guess is a product that he's endorsing over there. And he says in the commercial, you know how many times Ringo Starr has tried to get me to quit smoking? That's why I use e-cigarettes. And I was thinking, do you really think that Ringo Starr is trying to get Pat O'Brien to quit smoking? Yeah, is that
right.
A thing?
Oh, that's the
oh,
best.
Oh, no, Pat. What are you doing here?
Ringo.
What
Ringo's always trying to get me to quit smoking.
Come on. You're just dropping names at that point.
That's not the case. Ringo and I, we often talk about that, about quitting smoking, by the way.
Ringo doesn't care about you or whether you smoke or not. He doesn't know you exist, Pat.
You know, I was sharing a cigarette with Charlie Sheen at his birthday party a couple weeks ago.
Right.
He said, hey, what do you got there, Pat O'Brien? I said, it's an e-cigarette, Charlie Sheen. And he said, yeah. All right, I'll try that. And now he's smoking e-cigarettes, thanks to me. So
okay.
I got another guy on my side when it comes to e-cigarettes.
You never fail to disappoint, or however that expression goes.
Like Metallica. Right, exactly. I just like Metallica in that way. Yeah.
Pat is here for the NFL recap for the weekend. Pat, what'd you see? What'd you like? What do you know?
I'll tell you, fellas, wild, wild football season so far this year. A lot of teams you wouldn't expect to be 0-4. Are, and a lot of teams you wouldn't think be unbeaten are. And those New England Patriots, no surprise there that they're unbeaten. Last night we got a chance to watch them against the Atlanta Falcons. But different team now for Belichick and Brady. They're really running the football, really smash-mouth football. Used to be a finesse team, and now they're really changing the pace of things.
Well, they lost all the receivers.
I remember when I was hanging out with Ed Asner and Carl Sagan in a sweat lodge last season. I was saying, do you guys think... you know, Brady and Belichick will keep this kind of thing going, but they reinvent themselves. Just like I said to Rip Taylor the other day. I said, Rip, you always manage to reinvent yourself. And he threw some confetti at me.
You're going to drop names, Pat. At least drop names people have heard of.
Speaking of unbeatable, how about that Denver Bronco offense, huh? Peyton Manning, he knows what he's doing.
Crazy. That's unbelievable. Good. Unbelievable.
Yeah. He's on pace to maybe have his best season ever. At his age, after coming back from that injury... really incredible. And Aaron Carter and Lady Gaga were saying that we were in a three-way last night.
I'm sorry, what?
Me and Aaron Carter and Lady Gaga were in a three-way.
That's not true.
Oh, it is true, by the way.
What that, team?
It wasn't a sexual three-way. But
that's really the only kind of three-way, though.
But it was a three-way nonetheless, a three-way backgammon game. It's hard to play with three people, but we managed somehow.
I don't know anything about that
game. Spencer Tracy taught me that. Back in the day.
Who did Denver beat? I forget.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Struggling at 1-3. The NFC least, I guess you could call that division right now.
Yes,
New York Giants also winless, beaten by Kansas City Chiefs. That Andy Reid doing well there in Kansas City. Must be the ribs. I think he likes to chow down on those ribs.
You know,
back when Zac Efron and I were doing blow, he used to say that he loved eating those ribs in Kansas City, one of his favorite cities. And it was true. I was out with Dr. Phil and George Bush one time there in Kansas City, and Mary-Kate Olsen came up to me with Ashley Tisdale, and she said, Adam Sandler wanted to know if I had some extra barbecue sauce. That's when Calvin Klein swung by, and I pointed him over there to Halle Berry. Halle Berry said that Angus T. Jones and John Travolta at the other table wanted to know if they had any... any mustard I could spare. So Valerie Harper walked it over there for me. Asked her to do me a favor. And Jim Belushi and Kristen Stewart came on over and said they wanted to know if Frankie Muniz and Bryan Cranston could join us at our table. They apparently were hanging out from a Malcolm in the Middle shoot, and Fran Drescher had stopped by, so they all wanted to sit down, and
that
we did.
One hell of a dinner.
Taylor Lautner brought over our drinks. I couldn't believe when Chad Michael Murray wiped my mouth with his T-shirt.
All that happened in one restaurant in one night.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Crazier than the Lions beating the Bears yesterday. I was surprised by that. I thought the Bears would go unbeaten. But how about that Reggie Bush? He's reinventing himself, too, right there. Having a great season. He looks like that Lions offensive line is making holes for him. He gets in free space, and he shows he's still got some speed. Pretty impressive. That's your NFL update. I'm the East cigarette-smoking Pat O'Brien.
The beautiful Kat Dennings from Two Broke Girls coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network will be here. Jack Black on the program today. A lot of good stuff coming up. And what's up with Florida? After we talked to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Good morning, Harvey. How was your weekend, my friend?
It was good. My God. Oh, God, Breaking Bad. My whole weekend was revolved around Breaking Bad.
How epic was that?
Oh, my God. It was, you know what? What? It's like that. The ending was so important, and I just thought, what if it's disappointing? And it so wasn't disappointing. It was great.
It is weird, though. It was like Breaking Bad was just looming over everything all weekend long. It was like it was Super Bowl weekend or something. You just kept looking at your watch and looking at the clock and looking at what day it was and how many hours until. I mean, I couldn't have been more excited for that show last night. And I think you're right, Harvey. I think it was very, very satisfying. From start to finish, that show did not disappoint.
Oh, my God. Start to finish. And did you hear what Aaron Paul did right before the show?
No. At the cemetery?
No. What he did before. It's so funny.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. So he did a scavenger hunt in Hollywood. He took 20 tickets because these tickets sold out in like 2 minutes.
This was a charity viewing of the final episode with members of the cast that they were having at Hollywood Forever Center.
The whole cast was there.
Okay.
So it was impossible to get tickets. And so he got 20 tickets, and he did a scavenger hunt in Hollywood. And if you got a ticket, you could go to Hollywood Forever.
Right.
And so he would tweet, like 5:30, he'd tweet, it's behind the Funyuns at Walgreens and Hollywood and whatever. and it was so fun to read these things. So people were all over, it's behind a stop sign at such and such a place. And then the final one was, I'm standing in front of the Laugh Factory with the final two tickets. I mean, how great is that?
It is awesome to see him so invested in the charity that they were raising money for and also in his show and interacting with the fans. I'm surprised you didn't run out there and get some of those tickets and go down there, Harvey.
You know what? Here's what I was afraid of. There were like 1,000 people there, and I wanted to hear everything and see everything, and I was just afraid that people were going to make noise. And I mean, I planned my dinner so that I had everything made. I mean, I had everything planned like a space shuttle launch.
And you know what? After
I'm so excited.
After five years, there's so many expectations, and you know, you look around, you can find people that had complaints about it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it was the best payoff of any series ever.
Totally. And, you know, I don't really remember a lot of people complaining about any part of this thing. This show was great start to finish.
Yep. Yep, you're right. It's, I mean, it's definitely, it goes on the short list of the greatest shows of all time. And I still run into people who have not seen it. And I say, look, one day when you've got the time, get yourself to Netflix or the box set or whatever it is and sit down and just watch it. Because I see how people miss some shows. You can't keep up with all of them. All of us have shows that we miss that were great.
Were you as shocked as I was that Anna Gunn's character killed her sister on the show? I mean, that was crazy
when
that happened.
What? Kevin. Come on.
What?
Don't confuse people.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about what's...
Hold on. That's not true, everybody.
That is not true, everybody. That's
right,
just
that's
Kevin
what I meant.
Screwing with you. Let's talk about what's going on TMZ.com. As much fun as we're all having, let's talk about Kanye, because I followed with great interest the minute-by-minute accounts you were giving us of his weekend and the extraordinary lengths he's going to avoid the paparazzi at LAX. This is crazy, Harvey.
Well, it's not when you think about it. He's got a pending criminal case. He's had a history at LAX. He's gotten in fight after fight after fight. And his people have been telling him, stay away from LAX. So he had to go to Paris on Friday. And the deal was fly to San Francisco on a private jet and then grab a commercial flight to go over to Paris. But he is trying to avoid LAX at all lengths.
So he went that far just to not walk through LAX and submit him, you know, run into paparazzi there?
Exactly.
Now,
I got to tell you this because this is fabulous. Yes. I'm about to put this up on the website. Just before I picked up the phone, I looked at this video. This may be my favorite Kanye video ever.
Wow.
Wow.
He's in Paris. You got to see this. I've got to write it as soon as I hang up.
Right.
And I'll have it up in 5 minutes. He's in Paris, and these paparazzi are there. And first he says, don't ask me any questions.
Right.
Then he says, you know, I like you guys because you guys are a lot better than those paparazzi in Los Angeles because they come to your house, which these two guys did, by the way, on Friday. They were really wrong.
Okay.
But he said, you know, I respect what you do. And you know, you guys are so much better. And it's just basically, you know, and he shakes their hands. And it's just like, I think he's doing it to Yutz, the paparazzi in Los Angeles, but he really goes after him. But the best part of it is, at the very end, this woman walks up and says, who is he?
Nice.
and this photog looks at Kanye and says, tell her who you are. And he looks at them, and you see this look like, are you kidding me? You don't know who I am. I mean, maybe I'm reading into this, but that's the way I read it.
Oh, I imagine that's what he thought, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then finally he says, hi, I'm Kanye, and he shakes her hand and he walks in. It's so good. It's so good. You got to see this.
So is Kanye's biggest problem the things that paparazzi yell at him? It's not even that they're taking pictures. Is it they're trying to interview him?
He seems to, I mean, I can't jump in his head on this. He seems to think that, I mean, I don't know. I think he thinks that the paparazzi are profiting off of him.
Right.
And it drives him crazy. It drives him crazy that they're profiting off of him.
That's weird because it's not like he's hurting. It's not like they're taking money from him.
They're only making him more famous.
And he's a business. Right. I know. I mean, he's a business. A lot of people make money off of Kanye West. You know, concert promoters make money. Venues make money. All sorts of people.
Right.
He just has a thing that is, I mean, I think irrational, and frankly, it's just going to get him in trouble because I think he's in trouble in this case.
Oh, you do?
Well, I mean, what we found out is the prosecutors are going to try to bring in his greatest hits, literally, and show videos of him attacking paparazzi, especially at LAX, and there are five of them.
Yeah, he's got a pattern. Hey, listen, Harvey Levin on the line here from TMZ.com on the Kevin DeBee Show. Before we let you go, in our final minute here, Harvey, we didn't get a chance to talk to you since the Kanye versus Jimmy Kimmel feud broke out last week. What was your reaction to how Kanye handled that rather innocuous skit that Jimmy did on his late night show?
I mean, look, I don't understand Kanye. So, I mean, it's hard for me to react to it. It seems bizarre to me that it was a spoof. He was making fun of him, but
right.
It was a spoof. And he just went off like this was so serious. I'll tell you something really funny.
I love watching guys like him lose control.
So I'll tell you this really quickly. So I think you guys will like this. So, you know, he said at one point in this Twitter rant that he had, I've gotten a lot more, and then we had to figure out how to say it in the show.
Right.
He said, I've gotten a lot more blank than you. So what we said in the show was, well, Kanye was saying, I got a lot more P star 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 than you.
Right, right.
And so I'm walking back from the gym to my car yesterday, and some guy screams out, hey, P star 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 star. And I turned to him and I said, are you calling me a P star 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 star?
TMZ OG airs at 12:30 in the afternoon on Fox Channel 11 and TMZ Live at 4. The website you want to check out 25 times a day like I do is TMZ.com. Harvey, thanks for your time. Have a great week, my friend.
You too, guys.
You know that today is the last day of September, right? You're aware of that, Kevin.
I'm not aware of that, no.
And that means Rocktober starts tomorrow.
Ah.
And that is why I tell you that K-Rock all week long is going to be giving away passes to Not Scary Farm plus front-of-the-line passes for all 12 mazes. We've got those for you every day this week on the Kevin DeBee Show and throughout the day here at K-Rock, including next hour between 7 and 8, your chance to win the Knott's Prize coming up. It's Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin DeBee Show. I got a question for you guys. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out.
how they do it, but America's penis continues to deliver. Florida has more crazy news stories than all the rest of the states in the union combined, and they do not disappoint. Here's a story that involves a guy getting shot in the leg. No charges are filed, and the men remain friends. How did that happen? This is an 18-year-old Seminole County man whose last name, unfortunately, is Rape. Although he does put an accent on it, so I guess it's Rape. But if your last name were Rape, wouldn't you have changed it by now?
Yes, yes.
This is Brandon Rape with a pickup truck and two friends at around 11 o'clock last Thursday night when he had to pee. So they pulled over on the side of the road near Sanford, Florida. Well, the men saw a large snake in the road, and one of the passengers in the truck, Jared Hemphill, also 18, decided to shoot it with a semi-automatic rifle from the truck. By the way, of course these 18-year-olds are driving around on a Thursday night in Florida with semi-automatic weapons, because it is, after all, Florida. He heard the noise in the bushes, saw the snake, took a shot at it, and naturally did not hit the snake, because who can hit a snake from a truck shooting into the woods?
I think no one.
I think no one, too. He struck his good friend Brandon Rape in the left thigh. He threw down the rifle. They put Rape in the truck. They started driving to the hospital, called 911. A dispatcher told him he would meet them halfway, and they met in the parking lot of the Wilson Elementary School, did triage on him, decided to leave the bullet in the man's leg, by the way. Rape did not want to press charges. No one is arrested. The men remain friends. How about that? A happy ending from somebody getting shot. Now, would you stay friends with somebody who shot you when they were trying to shoot a snake, Kevin, or would that be a deal breaker for you?
It sounds like they may have had a load on, in which case I'd be fine with it.
Here's a man after your own heart. I know you love the police chases. His name is Hubert Wayne Simmons. He was going more than 100 miles an hour. Police pulled up behind him. The chase went on for several minutes. Eventually, they did catch him. Now, here's what I love about this story so much. The man behind the wheel said, "I didn't realize there was a police officer behind me."
What?
When you're going 100 miles an hour with a cop on your tail, that's not going to work. And that alibi fell apart. Then he said, "All right, I guess I saw that you were back there, but I didn't want to pull over because I was afraid that I have an expired tag on my truck, and I was afraid that would be a violation of my probation." Then the man offered something else, which is, "I'm going to just tell you this, and I want you to reward my honesty by not charging me, but I do have meth in my pocket."
Oh, my God.
He thought somehow that was going to work. It did not. He had a plastic bag with 1 gram of meth in his pocket, so he was arrested on charges of fleeing a police officer and possession of a controlled substance. His thinking was, if I'm honest about it, then I can't get charged.
That happens when you're 5.
Right.
Not when you're his age.
Exactly. Here's a creepy story. A University of Florida professor admitted to using a camera pen to videotape female students' underwear.
What?
He had one of those pens that was set up like a camera, and he would use it to point, it says in the article, toward the gap between the female student's chest and the V-neck of her shirt. Then he also was found with a couple of other students holding the pen on the ground and shooting up their skirts. Now, thank God they arrested this guy. The pen had an integrated USB thumb drive on it where the videos were stored. What do you think, Kevin, when confronted by the police, his defense was?
What was his defense?
Because they all try. They all try. Just like I didn't know there was a police car behind me. This guy, you know, had something that he was going to say that was going to try. He thought was going to try to get him out of it. So he's videotaping girls under their skirts that are students of his. What was his defense?
He was trying to make sure that they were wearing panties.
Yes!
What?
He claimed he was attempting to gather proof that one of the women was not wearing undergarments because he thought that would be inappropriate. It did not work, by the way.
I was trying to think of something stupid, like a stupid reason, and that's what he tried.
He faces 2 counts of video voyeurism, a third-degree felony, and is currently in jail. Here's a bizarre, bizarre story of a man who tried to perform an exorcism on his live-in girlfriend for 3 years. He grabbed her, held her down, told her he was going to exorcise her and get the devil out of her. In fact, he kind of held her hostage. He took batteries out of the house phones to keep her from calling for help. He confiscated her car keys. He rigged the garage door to keep her from opening. Eventually, she fell asleep, according to the report. And then the next day, he started exorcising her again. Now, it doesn't say what he was doing to exorcise her.
Huh.
But eventually, somehow, she managed to contact a neighbor, I don't know, through the window or something, but they were able to call the police. They showed up. She had bruised and scratched arms. Her boyfriend was on the couch, too drunk to remember what happened. He told deputies his girlfriend had started the fight because she is crazy. Here's my favorite part of the story. The man, 54, his girlfriend, 80.
What?
First of all, how often do you see a 54-year-old in a 3-year live-in relationship with an 80-year-old?
Oh, my God. Old enough to be his mom.
He was arrested on domestic battery of a person 65 or older, tampering with a witness, and false imprisonment, and is being held in the Lando Lakes Jail without bail. That's a bizarre story. And finally, in our What's Up with Florida this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's maybe the most shared Florida story of the year so far. Believe me, Kevin, I know you saw it. I saw it hundreds of times from listeners who wanted to let us know that herpes-infected monkeys were all over the Sunshine State.
Love that.
What I thought was fascinating, by the way, was the story of how the herpes-infected monkeys ended up in Florida. There are about 1,000 feral rhesus monkeys living in Florida right now. Apparently, back in the 1930s, there was a tour operator who wanted to give visitors a Tarzan-inspired experience. Now, Tarzan, of course, was a very popular movie franchise about a guy who lived in the jungle back then.
Right.
So he got a whole bunch of monkeys from Africa and sequestered them on an island. His idea was people would come out to the island like a theme park and commune with nature and hang out with monkeys because Tarzan was so popular. Well, what he didn't realize is that the monkeys could swim, and they easily were able to reach the mainland, putting down roots as far as Jacksonville, over 100 miles away. Now there are over 1,000 of them. By the way, the herpes doesn't cause any serious symptoms. It's not a problem for the monkeys. In fact, it's fairly common, but in humans, it can lead to a neurological impairment, or a word I won't try to pronounce that involves an inflammation of the brain and spinal cord leading to death.
Oh, my God.
What this article doesn't tell me, it does say that rhesus monkeys are known to act aggressively during people, but it doesn't say if you get the herpes through a bite or if you have to have sex with the monkey. I hope it's just a bite.
Wow. Because if it's sex, most of Florida's going to get it.
Over 1,000 of them. Herpes-infected monkeys in Florida. Just another reason to visit the Sunshine State, and another reason we always ask the question, what's up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Ralph Garman, a Philadelphia girl, actress Kat Dennings, joins us after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
What?
She's from, born in Bryn Mar, I think.
Oh, Bryn Mar.
Oh, really? Is that fancy?
Oh, she's from Bryn Mar. Oh, I didn't realize. Well, that makes so much sense.
Is that the Brentwood
of
Philadelphia?
Main line. She's from the main line.
What does that mean, main line?
The main line is the section of Philadelphia where all the rich people live. Up in Bryn Mar.
Grace Kelly and her family are from the main line.
All right.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. Fancy.
Yeah.
It's like the Beverly Hills of Philadelphia.
Yes, it is, Kevin. What are you going to do this weekend, Binky? I don't know. I thought I'd maybe take the skull down to the Schuylkill and do some rowing.
I think you may have to be in on the interview with us, Rob. That's coming up from Two Broke Girls, of course, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It is Monday morning on the Showbiz Beat. So, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Duh! In its debut, $35 million. By far the number one movie of the weekend. Prisoners came in at number two. The Hugh Jackman thriller made $11.3 million. Rush, which many people thought would be fighting with Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 for the number one slot, only made $10.3 million in wider release this
weekend.
That's
a surprise with the rave reviews it's been getting.
Yeah. That's shocking.
Kevin, you were on vacation.
Yeah.
What'd you see? 11 movies? 15?
No,
how many did you take down?
I was in Vegas. I don't go to movies when I'm in Vegas because there's other stuff to do.
Party bus.
Yeah, when a guy stepped off the party bus here locally, Kevin, everyone thought you died.
I know. Yeah.
They assumed it was you.
But that's not a party.
If anyone was going to step off a moving party bus, it would be you, however.
Our level of surprise, if that's how you died, would be zero.
Baggage Claim came in at number four this weekend.
Oh, man, is that a good... What?
It's a movie.
They sure claim their baggage.
They sure do. Get off a flight and then look for their clothing that is ensconced in some sort of Samsonite packaging.
Hey, that's my suitcase.
Sorry, we both have black suitcases.
Oh.
Many suitcases look alike. We should check our baggage claim tags.
Sounds good.
Credits. Don John. New film, directed and starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Fifth with $9 million. Insidious Chapter 2. Sixth, Instructions Not Included. We're the Millers, The Butler, and Enough Said. Top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Gillian Anderson. She is returning to the stage. She will be on the London stage next summer in an adaptation of Tennessee Williams' classic, A Streetcar Named Desire. It will be Gillian's fourth outing on the London stage, so congratulations to her. Carlton Cuse is coming back with another TV show. He's one of the men, of course, who gave us Lost. He's doing another creepy series for the A&E Network. He gave us Bates Motel, of
right.
course, brought us that. And now there's a new creepy series called The Returned. Fascinating topic. Set in a small town, which several local people who have long been presumed dead suddenly reappear, having not aged and unaware of their own deaths.
So they don't have any idea, but they're here.
They show up. They haven't aged a day. They show back up again after being missing for years.
Wow.
They attempt to resume their lives, and strange phenomena and gruesome murders begin to occur.
So if you died 30 years ago and you come back today...
Boom, you're back.
You're back, but, you know, your kids are all grown up, or your wife is dead. I mean, a lot of things have changed in the time you've been gone, right?
Yes. If you've been gone for 30 years, many things would have changed. For example, you could get the new iPhone. Something you couldn't do 30
That's
years
true.
Ago. That's true. By the way, good work, Apple. Those new commercials you have for the colorful iPhones, you've managed to make me hate every single person in those commercials. I don't know how you did it, but they're all freaking annoying. Way to sell your product. Hey, what's going on, Bob? Guy wearing like clown nose and everything. I'm not interested in your product, watching those people use it. They look really horrible people.
I think they're trying to say colorful people use
right,
the new
yes.
colorful iPhone.
What they're saying is douchebags use our new phone. Yeah. That's what they're saying.
You don't see anyone in that commercial you want to hang out with.
No, I do not.
Or call.
And Adele, of course, is a huge singing star. Next for her to conquer the world of cinema. Looks like she may be starring in a biopic about the late, great pop singer Dusty Springfield. Huh. That's your cousin, isn't it, Bean?
No.
Who's the one who's your cousin? Who's the one
just
like
her? Clark.
Same thing.
They're
same really thing. Practically the
I
same
agree.
Person.
Same thing.
Yeah. Apparently, it'll be Adele's first big screen performance. And just like Adele, Dusty Springfield was born in London. She was a little bit of a thing as opposed to the larger Adele. But it's Hollywood, so anything can be done. She had 11 top 40 hits in the U.S., including Wishing and Hoping. You Don't Have to Say You Love Me, Son of a Preacher Man. What Have I Done to Deserve This with the Pet Shop Boys? Passed away of cancer in 1999 at just the age of 59 years old.
Not interested!
Could be a big, big hit for Adele. Singing and acting and stuff.
She's fat.
Oh, man. That's no way to start a Monday. That's just cruel. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Barry Williams. He was Greg Brady on the legendary series The Brady Bunch, 59 years old today. Eric Stoltz turns 52. Trey Anastasio of Fish is 49 years old. Monica Bellucci. Hey, it's Anastasio and Bellucci. Together they make a pizza. She's 49 years old today. Tony Hale is 43. Jenna Elfman turns 42, if the church says it's okay. Lacey Chabert celebrates her 31st birthday. Kieran Culkin is 31 as well. And rapper T-Pain, 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network stops by next hour like he do on Mondays. Also, Jack Black on the program later on today. And, of course, we've got some more tickets for you for that Six Flags. Oops, take it back. Knott's Berry Farm. Six Flags was last week. All right, my girlfriend Kat Dennings is on the phone. Hi, Kat Dennings. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys.
What, do you consider yourself Bean's girlfriend?
I'm glad Bean thinks so. I'm America's girlfriend.
That's right.
I'm America's girlfriend.
That's a very diplomatic answer. Thank you, Kat.
Yeah, thanks.
She could have hurt me so bad there, Kevin. So that was very delicate the way she extracted herself. So I appreciate it.
Hey,
how have you been?
I'm a Kevin Bean fan.
Thank you. How have you been?
I've been well, thank you. How have you guys been? How is it over there?
You know, very like good. We do, just gangsta-ish. Hey, so Two Broke Girls is back on my TV for season 3.
It is, buddy.
Are you excited?
I can.
Do you still love it?
Do
you still love it, or are you just in it for the syndication money eventually?
No, actually, you know what? I love it more now than I did because at the beginning I was a little bit nervous because. It's so different from films.
Right.
We have a live audience, and, you know, it's more of a performance than a film is. You know, it's more realistic. So
is that scarier?
I was more nervous, and now it seems, yeah, it is scarier to me. But now I'm used to it, and now I really enjoy it. And it's almost like learning a sport, you know what I mean? You just learn how to play the audience, learn how to sort of surf the laughs, and it's really fun, and the writers and the actors are really close friends. So now it's really a family, and it's almost second nature. It's really fun this year.
Now, when we watch that show, it's a half an hour on CBS, and but I got the impression from your live tweeting the other day that it takes a lot longer than that to actually make the show, even though it's in front of a live audience. Can it be a several hours deal?
Oh, yeah. And thanks for watching my live tweets. There are certain sequences that take much longer. Like, I think the scene I was talking about took maybe like 3.5 hours to shoot.
Wow.
You know, things are complicated. Yeah, well, we have, you know, four cameras, and sometimes if there are a lot of props, a lot of action, if we're shooting outside or if there are animals, or whatever, you know, who knows. But it takes a long time. So they have a crane sometimes, like, inside the studio. It's crazy.
It does sound like the worst possible night out would be being in the live audience for Two Broke Girls then.
No, well, those scenes, the more complicated scenes we shoot, you know, the night before, so they can play them back so the audience doesn't have to, like, wait around for 3 hours while we set a crane up or whatever. But it's really fun. That part's nice for me because it reminds me of shooting a movie, and it makes me comfortable.
Now, after having the live audience there, is it weird to go back and shoot a movie? I guess you shot – when did you shoot Thor?
I shot Thor 2 at the same time as the show last year. So we shoot 3 episodes, and then we have a week break. And so during everybody else's week breaks for 6 months, I would fly to London shoot that movie and work for the whole week, including weekends, but fly back. It was really hard on my immune system, but it was really worth it, fun. But yeah, that jet lag is not a joke. It's very difficult.
It can be done.
If you want to do a movie at the same time, it's just hard. That movie has to be willing to work around your schedule, and they were very accommodating. So
I can't imagine the dread that I would have if I knew I was going to have to get on another plane to fly to Europe again this weekend if I'd already done it like 10 weeks in a row. I don't know how you ever recover from something like that. That's horrible.
It took me a long time, and this might be an overshare, but it's the Kevin Bean Show. How could it be? I got a terrible, like, inner ear, like, not an infection, but this is gross. Do you guys mind?
Well, I mean, you sort of owe it to us now, but go ahead. I mean,
yeah, I know. Well, I flew on a plane that flew to London sideways, like not the plane, but your seats were sideways.
Okay.
And I got impacted earwax, and therefore my equilibrium was completely screwed up, and I passed out at work. I passed out at work in the middle of a run through. We were doing a scene, and I just dropped like a stone. And then I went to the doctor, and they like got earwax out of one ear, and then the other one wasn't working. So I was just like walking in like a squiggly line for 2 weeks. Oh my god, it was horrible.
You're like bumping into stuff. Did you have people that watch you, like people that work with you, PR people, going, "Hey, what's happening with you?
Lay off the sauce, cat."
Drugs or something.
Yeah.
I took a shower and I fell over in the shower, and I'm like,
oh my god,
you guys.
That,
it was really terrible.
I had no idea that earwax could kill you. I mean, that sounds pretty serious.
Yeah. Earwax can help you, but you have to be stupid enough to take a shower and slip on something and then hit your head on the thing like I did. But I'm alive, and that's all that matters.
That's all that matters now. That's right.
This is the voice of Kat Dennings on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Two Broke... Well, we're not really, but it is on tonight. Two Broke Girls is on tonight at 9 o'clock on CBS, episode 2 of the third season of the show. What did you watch on all those trips back and forth? I would imagine that you found some series like The Wire or something that you missed the first time around and just did, you know, DVD after DVD on those long trips.
Oh, man. Do you guys ever watch the Ricky Gervais Show?
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah, I downloaded all of the Ricky Gervais Show that I could find, the video, the like animated things and the podcast. And I listened to those on a good chunk of the plane rides, and then I would watch them, and they would kind of, you know, relax me. I love that show.
Yeah, Ricky's the best.
That kind of kept me company. Yeah,
all right. I know you have to go in a minute, but I also want to mention that for folks who haven't checked out Two Broke Girls on CBS, it may be the filthiest show on network TV. I have to tell you, Kat, I am shocked by what you get away with, especially on the Old Persons Network. Like, how do you make so many boob and penis jokes on your show and they let them go?
I know. Well, you should see what they don't let go.
I'd love to. I'd love to see that list.
Yeah, compared to the stuff that they don't allow, the penis and boob jokes just seem really tame compared to it.
Do you do what we do, which is that you throw your censors a couple of things that you never thought of using anyway, just so they can nick stuff?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I don't have a role in that, but I know that our writers have definitely pushed the envelope and tried to get away with stuff. And sometimes they've slipped it past, and then they'll realize, like, a Tuesday morning before we shoot, and everyone will get, like, a 12 email chain being like, excuse me, you can't say this.
Oh, and that's the best.
Yeah, yep. That's awesome.
Standards and practices, people. They're the most fun people in the world, aren't they, Kat?
Oh, man. Who wants to? I don't know. I want to watch a documentary about a kid who just wants to be in the Standards and Practices Union. Just wants to do that.
All right, Two Broke Girls tonight on CBS at 9 o'clock. And don't miss Thor, The Dark World. More Darcy than ever before is what I'm being told. That comes out on November the 8th. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, Kat. Thanks so much for the time on the Kevin B. Show today.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You too, bye. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 729. Jesse Brand from San Bernardino is probably going to be peeing himself as he just won tickets for Not Scary Farm, and he's got passes to front-of-the-line passes for all 12 mazes.
Sweet.
So congratulations to him.
Beer Mug, you're fat, right?
Hey, how dare you?
Have you ever been tempted by any of
these? Can I answer for him?
Yes, I am.
Have you ever been tempted by any of these crazy lose weight fast fads that are out there, these diets?
Yeah, actually, a couple of years ago when I made the weight challenge bet, when it was coming down to the wire, I bought into the 48-hour Hollywood juice diet. And I did that where you have to drink juice for 48 hours. And it works. I lost 10 pounds, like it guarantees on the bottle.
Wow. Wow. And that, of course, stays off forever. You never have to think about those 10 pounds again, right?
Oh, no. That came right back on.
He gained that back in 5 minutes.
You drink one sip of water and all 10 pounds comes on instantly. Well, I saw an article recently. We want to take calls about crazy things that you've done, crazy diets that you've bought into or things that you have tried to lose weight. Because let's face it, most of us need to lose a little bit of weight and most of us are willing to try anything once. But we want to hear from you. What are the crazy things that you've tried at 1-800-520-1067. There's a documentary out called Girl Model, and in there they talk about some of the things that professional models, women who are walking the runway, what they do to keep their weight down. And some of this stuff is crazy. For instance, the cotton ball diet is a thing, you guys. Cotton balls apparently are high in fiber. So you either take the cotton balls the way they are or you soak them in gelatin. They're apparently very filling, obviously low in calories. And apparently they fill you up, and you don't gain any weight as a result of
it. That sounds terrible.
There's the tapeworm
diet.
Then
you poop out a sweater. It's weird.
I guess you do. There's the tapeworm diet, which we've talked about before. And there are actually places on the internet where you can order a tapeworm and have it delivered, and then you swallow it. And then the plan is that the tapeworm lives inside your body and eats the food that you swallow.
I don't need to lose weight that much.
Now, we talked to Dr. Drew about that one, remember? A couple of months ago.
Because you were thinking about it.
I thought the tapeworm diet sounded awesome. But apparently he says it is not healthy and not a good idea. There's a sleeping beauty diet. This is one where you sleep as much as possible, figuring while you're asleep, you can't eat. And that's something that people do. I guess you'd have the right kind of lifestyle, like kind of schedule that you could afford that. But there are people who just stay sleep medicated all the time so that they can't eat. And they feel like, hey, I'll get up in 2 weeks and then I'll look how thin I'll be.
Michael Jackson.
And one more. And then we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. In this documentary, it was revealed that there are girls who model, do fashion campaigns for brands like Max Studio. A 27-year-old who works for that company says she has seen models who have teeth pulled so that their face looks thinner.
Really? Just for cosmetic reasons?
Yes.
Pull my. What dentist will pull a tooth just so you look better?
And by the way, you can accomplish the same result, by the way, by using cocaine to make your cheeks hollow, which is another trick that some of the girls in the industry use.
Huh.
Now, I'm not saying all of these work, but try a few of them, Beer Mug.
Okay. Take Would it kill you to eat a cotton ball every once in a while?
That's all we're saying. Not that that buffalo chicken footlong isn't going to do wonders for you, but I'm just saying, a cotton ball. So 1-800-520-1067. These are some of the examples of the crazy diets that people are using. What have you tried, and did it work? We want to hear from you. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Yep, that's us. It's 7:37 on the world-famous K-Rock, talking about bizarre ways you lost weight, all of which I can imagine are bad, right? Bad and bad for you.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is there's no shortcut to a long-term weight loss. That's a lifestyle change. But that doesn't stop people from having that high school reunion coming up in 3 weeks, and they'll do anything they can to look the best they possibly can when they walk into that room. Let's talk to Mary. She's online, too. She'll get us going here at 1-800-520-1067. Beer Mug, I'd like you to take notes, please. Everything that is tried that we talk about here in the next 5 minutes, I want you to try, okay? All of them.
All at once?
Today, yeah.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very good, thank you.
What'd you do?
Cigarette and Red Bull diet.
Just cigarettes healthy. And Red Bull, that's it?
Pretty much, yeah.
For how
Nothing
long?
Else. For, I did it for about, I wanted to do it for 2 weeks. I only did it for a week because I lost about 3 pounds when I did it. So the next week I kind of ate salads and stuff. And then the final third week I did only cigarettes and Red Bull again. And I lost 6 pounds. When I only did cigarettes and Red Bull, but it was so bad.
But you had to end up, in total, you did that for 2 weeks and you only lost 6 pounds.
Yeah, but it was worth it. It really did work. I mean, I looked slimmer than how I really, than how much weight I really lost. I felt like I lost 10 pounds. But it was so bad. I was peeing like neon yellow for the whole 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a terrible diet.
Look, I'm not a doctor. Hard to believe. But I think that sounds healthy. I think that's why only do it for 2 weeks when you can do it for the rest of your life. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to, let's go to Mariah. She's got something I think I've heard about. Mariah's on line 4, and she's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mariah.
Hi.
What'd you do? What diet?
I did the HCG diet.
What is that?
It's, you take these drops. They're a hormone.
Okay.
And they make you think that you're pregnant.
Okay.
And your body burns more fat than your muscle because your body naturally burns the muscle before it burns the fat. And I did that for like 4 days, and it was the hardest 4 days of my life.
Wow, you survived 4 whole days?
You're not allowed to eat more than like 500 calories a day.
Well, maybe that's what made you lose weight. Instead of eating the 5,000 calories a day that you normally ate, you went down to 500.
Yeah, I lost like 9 pounds in 3 days, and by the fourth day, I was so tired.
Yeah.
I couldn't function or think, and I gained like 4 pounds back that day.
So you would recommend it then?
It does work if you follow it, but it's really hard on your body.
Yeah.
So,
all right, thanks for the call. Hey, she died, Kevin, but she made a delicious and delightful corpse.
That's right.
Hey, remember this story that we talked about last year? This was a hot diet for a minute, too.
It's the newest fad diet to hit the United States. See for yourself, it's not just brides using it, though. Women, even men, are using a feeding tube to lose weight.
A feeding
That's
tube. Remember that
right.
one?
Right. Ew. That's gross.
1-800-520-1067. What crazy thing did you try to lose weight and did it work? John is up next. He's on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good. Well, I tried a peanut butter diet. It was 4 to 6 tablespoons a day and just water for 4 days.
Okay.
And I lost like 9.4 pounds.
Okay.
So, it was pretty insane. I mean, I'm only 140, 5'8", so I lost like 9 pounds. It was pretty insane.
Why, if you're 5'8", 140, do you need to lose 9 pounds?
Actually, I just did it to see what would happen. And then also, I guess like...
What do you mean?
I know. I guess like a whole discipline thing, you know? Like having a...
Oh, I see. It was a challenge. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was a challenge for myself, I guess. You. I mean, people at work were like talking crap, I guess, you know.
There wasn't an event coming up or anything like that, some goal in mind that you had to lose weight by a particular date for a reason?
No, it was just my own challenge, and it worked for 4 days.
Okay. Huh. So you just eat peanut butter. Muggs, you taking all this down?
Done.
Okay. Let's go to Jordan. We haven't really got into crazy surgeries yet, but Jordan's on line one. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good. Yeah, so I had a bariatric surgery. It's actually called the gastric sleeve. I had it July 15th. It's where they go in and they remove 3/4 of your stomach and they physically take it out. So your stomach is left as a little sleeve. It was about 350 when that happened on July 15th.
Right.
Which was 2.5 months ago, and I've lost about 90 pounds now.
Wow. That makes a difference. So yeah. Are you one of those guys who you probably weren't crazy about the idea of surgery, but you feel like you had tried everything else and it just wasn't working for you?
You know what? I grew up a wrestler, and I cut a lot of weight throughout high school and college. And so when my wrestling career ended, I just couldn't stop eating. And it got to the point where working out scared me, everything. I just couldn't do it anymore. So I had to come to that realization that I wasn't going to be able to do it by myself.
Now, I don't want to rain on your parade or anything, but I have heard stories about people who eat so much that they are able to expand their new tiny stomach up to the old size and they get right back to where they were.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine because I take 2 bites and I feel like I've just ate a buffet. So it's hard for me to believe that, but I mean, I've heard the same story, so we'll see what happens.
Give it a try, man.
Yeah, right.
All right, good luck. Muggs, make a note of that. You need to get the gastric sleeve, too. Let's try Fabian. He's on line 4. He's got a little cheaper idea to lose weight fast.
Hi, Fabian.
Hi, how's it going?
What'd you do to lose weight?
So I just ate tuna fish, like 3 cans of tuna a day for a week.
And how'd that go?
Well, it was disgusting, but I lost 20 pounds.
Wow, 20 pounds?
We had these other people doing cigarettes and Red Bull for 6 pounds.
Yeah, it's for like, you know, $2 a day, basically. You lose a ton of weight.
How? Why do you suppose that was so effective? I mean, that's shocking to me. I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, I don't know why it was so effective. All I know is afterward, I couldn't eat tuna for like a year.
Why did you do it? I mean, where did you hear about it?
I heard it from a friend when I used to work out a lot in college, and I heard it from a friend. It was like a quick and easy way to lose weight. So we both did it together, and he lost, I think, like 15 pounds. I lost 20.
Wow. I think that may be the takeaway from today's show is tuna only, right?
Yeah. No, I think all of these are good ideas.
All right, Fabian, thanks for the call.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Remember, she no longer does those 10 most celebrity fascinating celebrities interview shows anymore.
Sure. She doesn't do that anymore, that's for sure.
Wait, what's that called again?
That was A Moment with Bean.
I love it.
You missed it, buddy. You missed
I love it.
While you were gone, Bean was on
he
fire.
He stepped up.
I did, man. Did. Good times. Hey, it's Monday. We apologize for that. But the good news is Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Are you my girlfriend, Kat Dennings?
I didn't say that. I said, Jesus. Here's my girlfriend, Kat Dennings. It was the assumptive close.
But did you see how she tap danced around that when I asked
poor
her?
Girl.
No, I'm America's girlfriend.
Poor girl.
I love her so much. She's the best.
You're the
she has
worst.
Everything. Why am I the worst? Because I love too much. Is that my problem?
That is your problem, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's Monday morning. Means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. And its debut did very well for itself. $35 million.
That looks like it might be funny.
It's very charming, actually. A lot going for it. I was able to see a ton of that footage at Comic-Con because I did the panel for that.
They had a big push at Comic-Con.
They did have a big push. And it just seems charming as hell. If you got to take your kids to see a movie, better it be something sort of clever and funny, starring people you like as well, so where the whole family can enjoy it. And I guess that's why it did so well this weekend. $35 million made it number one. Prisoners was pretty far behind it with $11.3 million, but that was good enough to make it number two. Then Rush, the new Ron Howard film about Formula One racing, came in at number three in its wide release debut, $10.3 million. Baggage Claim was fourth. It debuted with $9.3 million. Oh, Baggage Claim. Finally, seeing that story up on the big screen. It's something we've all been waiting for. Because remember that time, Kevin, you and I, when we got back from New York, I said, There's a movie in this, Kevin. You and I waiting for our bags. So we should write a film about
this. And then
this.
No one said anything for about a half hour.
No one said anything, and someone else beat us to it. Don John, in its debut weekend, claimed $9 million, making it number 5. Then Insidious Chapter 2, instructions not included. We're the Millers, the Butler, and Enough Said. We're rounding out your top 10. Sad news in the L.A. punk scene. Icon Bill Bartell is dead. You maybe know him better by his punk rock name, Pat Fear. He was in the band White Flag, which was pretty much a humorous response to the super serious L.A. punk scene in the early 1980s.
You might remember this song.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
I don't remember that being a song by White Flag. Pat Fear played a flying V guitar, wore a giant mustache. The band cranked out punk covers of such bands as Blue Oyster Cult and Kiss. They were a lot of fun, and they poked some fun at the L.A. punk scene, which made them not popular with everyone, but some people enjoyed their work. He passed away just at the age of 52 in his home in Moreno Valley, so that's sad news. Meanwhile, the new Modest Mouse album will get a very cool guest star, Chris Novoselic. Yeah. He is going to be playing, at least guesting on one track on that. Modest Mouse bagged its summer tour to finish up their new album. It's the follow-up to 2009's No One's First and You're Next. So they were hard at work on that album, and nice to have Chris up by.
Kevin, don't you have a clip of the new Modest Mouse album? I'm excited about hearing
Wheel
his music.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning. Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Something would happen after that.
This is a shock. Jennifer Lawrence has been added to the cast of Dumb and Dumber 2.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Ryder.
Come on.
He's tanned, he's rested, he's ready.
That's a weird...
Why is this movie being made by
us? I don't know.
Who are the people out there waiting for a sequel to Dumb and Dumber?
No
and why,
one.
For God's sake, is Emmy winner Jeff Daniels doing it?
He's got to be regretting his contract now.
That isn't good for you.
Apparently, Kathleen Turner has a role in the film, and Jennifer will be playing the younger version of that character in a cameo in the sequel.
All right.
She will be stopping by and do a little bit in that film. I saw a photo of the two of them on the set, Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, and they got the haircuts and he's missing the tooth and everything, and they just look sad. Look like two middle-aged men playing
How
dress
long
up.
Ago was that?
20 years ago.
Wow.
Has to be. Yeah.
Looks like two guys at your office who decide to go to a Halloween party, but they pick a costume that's really old and sort of not funny anymore.
And they're laughing at it to themselves.
That's what those guys look like. just kind of made me sad.
Now, I sense, Kevin, that at the time Dumb and Dumber came out, you probably loved it. You thought it was great. But even you have matured out of the demo for that film, right?
Kevin hasn't matured out of that demo at all. He just doesn't like things that are old.
You wouldn't go see Dumb and Dumber 2.
No, I have no interest in Dumb and Dumber 2. But I saw Dumb and Dumber and I liked it.
Of course you did.
But this nothing about this interests me. It just seems like that was...
Well, what about all the loose end? What about the story?
I don't remember the story.
Of Luke and Cliff. What about how all the stuff that went on with them and we don't know the resolution of
Remember Barbara
stories.
When she came in and did that thing?
Sure. Remember with her?
What about Tuffy?
The dog.
That's right, the dog.
I forgot about problems too. So we had
Did they ever either make it back from the moon or invent that serum?
All right, now you're just ruining it. Now you're ruining it.
I don't know anything about that.
I like it when Bean can't play.
They never went to the moon or invent a serum. Everyone knows that much about the movie.
I don't.
I hate you. Did they ever get back from the moon or invent that serum? What an ass. Today's celebrity birthdays, Barry Williams of the Brady Bunch, 59 years old today. Eric Stoltz, very talented actor and now director, is 52. Monica Bellucci. She's 49 years old. Tony Hale, Emmy-winning Tony Hale,
from Veep, 43 years old today. Jenna Elfman turns 42. Lacey Chabert is 31 years old. Kieran Culkin also celebrates his 31st birthday. And rapper T-Pain is 29. You have any T-Pain songs over there?
Sure wish I did. That'd be cool.
Oh, you're an
It'd be a lot cooler if I did.
What? You're jamming that up my butt every 5 seconds and I throw it to you. No, no, I don't want it now. Now, forget it.
Would have been a funny throwback there, Kevin.
Boy,
you'd have had that.
Mondays suck. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Monday morning. Kevin, while you were out last week, Ralph told us a bizarre story about a charity event involving Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson. Have you heard about this Simply Shakespeare benefit they do?
No.
They do it every year. They raise money for charity. And this time around, this year, they were doing Two Gentlemen from Verona. And they have lots of Hollywood stars that come out. They're presenting a Shakespeare play on stage, but then they also have musical interludes that kind of loosely relate to what's going on in the action, right?
All right.
Somehow they got Paul McCartney to be a part of this. And he was there for the whole 2 hours up on stage. And he did a ton of songs, including, well, he opened with Live and Let Die, for instance. And I don't know how you work that into a Shakespeare play, but Live and Let Die he did. He sang Let It Be with Jason Alexander from the old Seinfeld show.
What?
The weirdest thing, and I don't know if there's any video of this or not, is apparently he and William Shatner did a duet on Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Oh, my God. Didn't William Shatner talk through that song?
Yes. Back in the 1960s, William Shatner did record it. And, of course, Paul sang it. It was a John Lennon song, but Paul sang it with the Beatles. So, I like I said, I don't know if there's any video, but I believe producer Dave was able to line the guys up, and we can ask them about it. I think we've got – well, first let's say hi to Paul McCartney. Paul, are you there?
I am. Good morning. How you doing, fellas?
Very good. Woo! How are you?
Welcome back. It's always an honor to have you on,
it's
Sir Paul.
Great to talk to you, too.
Yeah. And Mr. Shatner, Bill, are you with us as well?
Kevin Bean, how are you?
Very
well,
good.
We're doing fine.
Kevin,
so,
by the way, I put you down for a table for my horse charity.
That's very nice of you, Bill.
$10,000. Can't wait to see you. Hope you enjoy the show. We do. Amazing things with horses. We
right.
make them dance and right. walk.
Right. We right. know about the charity.
Brad Paisley.
Yes. Actually, you mentioned the charity a few times on
We're
our show.
We're talking about some of the sponsors of the charity.
No, we don't have time for that.
Time. Let's throw it back.
Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. They'll be there.
Let's throw it back over to
Toyota.
Mr. McCartney. Paul, what can you tell us about your involvement in the Tom Hanks Simply Shakespeare Festival?
He sure likes to talk about horses, doesn't he?
He loves a lot. A little too much.
Yeah, Tom and Rita asked me to do this for them. And so I said, yeah, sounds great. So, you know, just went up on stage and did some Shakespeare, sang some songs.
Right.
It was a good time. I think a good time was had by all.
Right. Did you sing Lovely Rita, Meter Maid? You do that song since you were there or no?
Because her name is Rita Wilson?
Yes.
No.
I hate him too, Paul. If that helps.
We all do. Why all couldn't he been shot instead of John?
Oh, now come on.
Would have been better.
It would have, yes.
I'm your Bill. Biggest fan, Mr. Baxter.
I don't think that's necessary.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right. Bill, tell us how the Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds duet happened.
Well, I was doing Shakespeare as well.
Right.
You know, I did Shakespeare for many years before Star Trek or anything else.
Right. You were a stage actor, right?
Yes, I was. I think I just said that.
You were a stage actor, right?
Yes, I was a stage actor.
Okay.
And so Rita and Tom asked me to do this, and I said, of course, if you'll come by my horse charity. Get you a table. And they asked Paul to do it, and since we were going to be on stage together, I said, I've got an idea.
Uh-huh.
Why don't we do a song together?
And what did Paul say? Paul, what was your first response to that?
Well, first I thought, no effing way.
Right.
But then I thought it would be fun, you know, to do it with him. And so we did. We worked on it, and it was pretty good.
Huh. Okay, but you were aware of the fact that he murdered Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, did maybe the worst version ever of it back in the 60s, right?
Oh, you have it there?
Picture yourself on a boat, on a river, with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, Phil! You answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Nice.
Wow.
Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head.
He's into this.
Look for the girl with the sunrise. And she's gone.
That's awful. So sorry I did that.
I'll bet you.
Andrew Siciliano, host of Around the League, of course, on the NFL Network and the DirecTV Red Zone. Welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend.
Good morning. Good
How
morning.
How are you?
Oh, my voice isn't there. Hey,
good morning, guys.
You don't need a good voice on our show.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I know I should be over it by now, but
hang on,
I still...
Just a second. Put your phone down, dude.
No, no, I'm tweeting that I'm coming on the show just
fine,
for you.
But we're trying to have a conversation.
All right, here, put it down. What are you, a girl?
What the hell?
Good Lord.
I want some eye contact.
All right, here, we're talking.
All right.
I know I shouldn't still be surprised, but I always pictured that the day after the Red Zone, Andrew Siciliano would just be in bed all day, just trying to recover from it. Yet he bounces back Monday morning, bright and early. Here he is like a regular human.
No,
I'm very
impressed.
Let's
go back to work. And I do it for you, you know. Everything I do, I do it for you. I put down the phone for you. Really?
Now listen.
Do I have to meet your parents now?
Well, that's the next step.
We have a lot to talk about, Andrew, and I want to first ask you this. Are Peyton and Manning the kind of brothers that are close enough that they have regular contact?
Peyton and Eli.
Peyton and
Eli.
Manning.
Excuse me. Of course, I meant Peyton and Eli. Yes. Like, for instance, is there a phone call sometime this week where it'll be like Mr. 4-0 will be like, hey, how's it going, Mr. 0-4? I mean, is that a thing that happens between those two, do you imagine?
I don't know if they actually talk smack to each other, but they have been on record for years saying they speak regularly, usually during the season. It's probably a one time a week thing.
You have to imagine that they
call up and they check in and they probably exchange notes on whomever the other one is playing. Here's what I see. Hey, looked at your game.
Oh,
that
you
kind
think
of thing.
They sort of help each other?
Oh, they've discussed it. Oh, yeah, they absolutely do. And remember, they're in different leagues.
Peyton's not helping
right.
enough.
They're
right.
not playing each other.
They're
most
not competitors
of the
time. Yet. Right.
They're not
right.
competitors. And by the way, don't think that Peyton isn't in Denver and isn't on an AFC team because of that. They don't want to have to face each other on the road to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
They would rather face each other in the Super Bowl. Now, granted, if the Giants made the Super Bowl this year, it would be a miracle.
Yeah, it's kind of a long shot.
Right? That's not going to happen.
You know who is? Arizona Cardinals. That's what everybody's talking about today.
That would be also a minor miracle. Minor. Maybe Remember? Not. Maybe not like elevating you all the way up to
Come on.
Sainthood.
The Cardinals have a powerhouse of an offense putting up 13.
And congratulations for winning your first game in 10 on the road.
So remember when Peyton was up for grabs a little bit and some were suggesting that he might end up in New Jersey playing for the Jets. And people were like, oh, my God, this would be
comical.
Terrible. That would be to have Peyton and Eli, you know, in the same geographic area would be
awesome.
Tough enough for them.
Let me tell you, Bean, you had a better chance of playing quarterback for the Jets.
There was no
never,
way. Okay.
I don't think there was ever a chance on
wow.
earth. Here's one thing they don't like. I know this sounds odd. I don't want to say they don't like attention because Peyton does every single commercial on TV.
Right.
But they don't like the brother against brother storyline.
I wonder
they
why.
They don't like it. Like Sam Farmer, who great writer, NFL writer for the LA Times, had a quote from Archie before they played last time a couple of weeks ago.
That's
saying,
their dad.
We hope this is the last time, unless it's the Super Bowl. And it's not as if...
Why are they fine with it at the Super Bowl level?
Well, it's uncomfortable. Well, because then it's on the greatest stage, and both their kids get to the end, and it's, you know, it's jelly beans and rainbows and all that stuff, and everyone's happy. Somebody's got to win. But on the... They don't like the... I guess it's gotten tiresome. And I don't mean like they're angry about it, but they just would just rather weird. Not have to go through the, hey, who's mom rooting for and who's dad rooting
yeah.
for?
Yeah,
hey, let's talk
I understand
to Cooper that. Again. You can't play football anymore, right?
It is
you know,
all the same
they're
stuff.
They're just sick of it.
Yeah.
We eat it up because it's People Magazine coverage of the NFL. That's
of course.
What it becomes. That
talk
week.
To me. Talk to me about the kind of season that Peyton Manning is having right now, and put it in the greater context of all time great QB performances.
Mind blowing and historic. He has 16 touchdowns and no interceptions. All right, 16
That's
touchdowns is more than most teams in the entire league have collectively through four games.
Wow.
I don't know the heading into this week, his 12 touchdowns was better than all but two teams.
Wow.
How long
no,
has it
no,
been
I take
since...
it back. His 12 was better than every other team. I don't know what it stands as today.
Oh
no
my God.
Quarterback has gone 16-0 in terms of touchdowns and picks since Milt Plumb in 1960.
Oh, Milt Plumb
did
good work.
A hell of a lot more games. Once traded for the great Paul Warfield. It is... I mean, look, he's... Here's what you got to remember about Peyton. He will rewrite every record in the books this year. 50 is the touchdown mark by Brady. Brady broke Peyton's old record. He will likely get to 50. The question becomes, and this is what you got to remember the entire time, will they win in the playoffs? He is 9-11 career
in the playoffs. He does have a ring. He got to the Super Bowl the second time and lost. His teams have been knocked out 11 times. No one wins every time.
Does that tell you anything, though? I mean, is that one of those statistics that's interesting, but is it on him?
Some of it is.
Is it?
Some of it absolutely is. So he'll break every record, he will get every headline, and he will deserve every toast you want to throw his way in the regular season. It will come down to, will they win in the playoffs? I'm not a Peyton naysayer, but if he throws 55 touchdowns and they're one and done, like they were last year, what becomes of Peyton Manning and the Broncos? What's the legacy there? People remember championships. Ask Kobe. He gets he could average 90 points a game. Obviously, I realize I'm exaggerating here.
But not much, though.
They could go 82-0.
Right.
And if they don't win the championship, he'll sit here and tell you everything was worthless.
This may be a stupid question, Andrew, but I'm sincerely interested in this. Does Indianapolis now, even though they're winning, do they think they made the right choice by not sticking with Peyton?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
the next 10 years or
the
whatever.
Future.
Yeah.
And Andrew Luck is the only guy that can even come close, at least now. He's only in his second year, but they have the guy for the next 10 years. There are only – all right, so the Patriots with Brady, the Saints with Breeze, and the Packers with Aaron Rodgers are probably the only three teams in the entire National Football League that wouldn't cut off a leg to trade for Andrew Luck.
Really?
Yes.
Everybody else wants him.
Everybody else would take him. Every other team would take him, and to hell with the cap hit and the blood on their hands and whatever they would have to do to get rid of the guy they have.
They would kill the guy they have?
They would kill the guy they have and bury him in the backyard.
Andrew Siciliato is here from Around the League Live on the NFL Network and, of course, the DirecTV Red Zone. Tell us about your new celebrity crush that you didn't even realize you had until yesterday's Red Zone, Andrew.
Oh, my God. Naya Rivera?
Yeah,
right? You can call me an idiot. I do not watch network TV. I'm not
at all ever.
I watch 30 Rock. Right. I watch Modern Family.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right.
Okay. Well, actually, I stopped watching Modern Family. I still love it. It fell out of the rotation.
All right.
So I've never seen Glee in my entire life.
Right.
I have no idea who that woman is. The only one I know is what's her name? Leah?
Michelle.
Yeah, because she's on the cover of every magazine.
Yeah.
And so when Michael Rivera, her brother, scored a touchdown for the Raiders yesterday, and they immediately cut to Naya Rivera throwing her hands in the air.
Like she just didn't care.
Like she did not care at all.
Right.
With her shirt riding up. God, I sound white right now. I had no idea who this woman was.
Yeah. She's pretty hot.
She seemed friendly. She looked very attractive, and I was caught tongue-tied on the air, and
There was a little of that.
And then so then all my Twitter starts blowing up with people saying, hey, this is who this is. And I clicked on her. She has like 1.4 million followers. Evidently,
she's
has
very
a
popular.
Big TV show.
Yeah.
Now, Andrew, you have to start watching Glee, and here's why. Because starting on this week's Glee.
Are you on it?
No, but starting on this week's Glee, she is a lesbian on the show, you know. Her new girlfriend is played by pop superstar Demi Lovato.
Shut up.
That's happening on Glee this season, starting this week.
Again, let me back up. It's on network TV?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Can it be on Sunday night on Showtime?
Put that on Showtime and Andrew's in.
Can we have that after Homeland?
All right. We have to take a break. I want to find out how many unbeaten teams are still left and how long that's going to last. Andrew Siciliano is here. We're talking NFL football, and we'll return. Oh, Andrew's got a tweet real quick. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on camera. How do you go through the world, Andrew, being two seasons behind on Breaking Bad? Isn't that just miserable?
You know what
for
it
you?
Is?
Because everyone's talking about it all the time now.
All right, listen. You have to make – it's a commitment issue. So, you know, you can say I have commitment issues.
There are a lot of TV shows. Yeah, there's only so much time you have.
Right, there's only so many shows any normal person has or has time for.
But Breaking Bad should have replaced something else.
And people tried to get me into it years ago, and I finally got on the bandwagon only in the last couple of months through Netflix, and I got into it clearly, and I'm into season 3. And honestly, I've watched like 15 episodes in the last 2 weeks.
So you're pretty heavy.
Honestly, and I'm trying to power through, and I thought I could catch up, and life caught up with me in the last week.
Last night when Skylar killed her sister.
I was shocked.
What?
That didn't happen. That didn't happen.
That was a fake spoiler alert.
That did not happen.
I can't believe they did that.
I signed off Twitter at 6 and said, good night, everybody. Drive home safely. I realize that I probably in the next week or two or three weeks, whatever.
It'll be spoiled.
It'll be spoiled.
You'll learn that Hank doesn't die and everything will be fine.
Hank Moody, is that the guy in California?
Yes.
Hank Moody got killed last night?
Yeah.
Andrew, you have too many jobs. You need to have fewer jobs and more time watching TV.
I only have two.
Do you miss the radio show, by the way?
I do kind of miss radio, but you guys make up for it. You're my radio family now.
Aww, Andrew Siciliano is here from Around the League Live on the NFL Network and then the DirecTV Red Zone.
Is this network radio?
Let's talk about the Patriots for a moment.
They're good.
They had a little bit of a scare last night. This is not the Patriots of old. They lost all the receivers, and they've kind of had to reinvent a little bit.
And the big thing today, I mean, look, they won. They got out of there. The big thing today is Vince Wilfork. Their defensive lineman, clearly their best defensive player.
Right.
Achilles out for the year.
Yeah.
So they had no depth around him. I mean, they shuttled 15 different defensive linemen in during the preseason and during training camp. That is a huge, huge, huge loss. They're still the best team in that division, although the Dolphins are 3-0. They play the Saints tonight. They are 3-0 as well.
Right.
So, you know, I like the Dolphins. I'm not on the Dolphins bandwagon yet, but you know, they will give the Patriots a run for their money, but you cannot replace
that game last night was crazy, though. We were waiting to watch the season finale of Breaking Bad until, and I thought, well, the game is clearly out of hand, so let's go ahead. And all of a sudden, Atlanta's back in it. And go, what happened?
I turned on Boardwalk, but I had the game on my other TV in the living room, and I kept an eye on it, and then I turned it back because the Falcons got to within 7 and got in the red zone again.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That game was, look, Atlanta's a good team. And they were at home, but half the fans in Atlanta, because generally Atlanta has bad fans, went home.
Yeah, they did. They left the stadium early. Yeah.
Right. And I'm not talking Falcons fans in general, but, you know, the Braves have playoff. I bet you when the Dodgers are there Wednesday, that game won't be sold out.
Really? So it's a bad sports city.
It's an awful sports town. Although, of course, the Falcons have amazing fans. For the record, are we on the record? Yeah. The Falcons have amazing fans.
He says, trying to not get a lot of hate on Twitter.
The fans all left. They all left, and
That's funny. The Falcons came back.
What about the 1-2 punch in Cleveland of having the Browns win another game this year and having the Indians in the postseason? What's it like for them right now?
Well, put into perspective the amazing run the Indians have been on. They won 10 games in a row to end the season. That's only happened 5 other times since 1900. Think about that.
Wow.
10 games in a row, make the playoffs. They actually won like 20 out of 24 in September. So, I mean, they won 92 games. I mean, they won more games than the Dodgers, I think, if memory serves, that no one's ever paid attention to them.
Impressive.
But the way the baseball playoffs are, though, are so screwy, there's a two-way tie behind them for the other wild card. So the Rays, Tampa, and the Rangers, Texas, play a one-game playoff tonight. One team goes home, the other team gets into the wild card. The wild card then plays the other wild card in a one-game get in kind of thing.
What is wrong with baseball?
That's what they do, Kevin. It's the new one-game wild card. I hate it.
I've always told Kevin that what baseball needs is 163rd and 164th game. What's going on?
Considered a playoff. I mean, this other one is 163, Texas and Tampa. Then they get in, and the two wild card teams play each other in one game.
What the hell?
And then one of y'all goes home.
Eventually, the World Series will start in November. All right, let's get back to football for a second. I was surprised and impressed with how good the Houston Texans are. They were very good for three quarters of that game yesterday.
Yeah, they should be embarrassed. Honestly, they were. This is not to bash your Seahawks. It was 20-3.
Yeah.
All right. So Seattle's the best team of the NFC. Let's write that down. Seattle.
But they deserve to lose the way they played that first
three
quarters.
They deserve to lose. Houston was up 20-3 at home. Houston, go back to last December or last November. They were cruising towards home field advantage. They then died in December and had an early exit in the playoffs. This year they come out. They barely win week one. They barely win week two. They became the first team ever to win on the last play of the game in consecutive weeks to open a season. They go on the road to Baltimore last week and died. They played an awful game.
Yeah.
Then they come back home. And granted, Seattle's good, but you have them up, you have them down, rather, 20-3.
Yeah.
And they played an awful, awful, awful fourth quarter. They want to fire the quarterback this morning. Seriously, all the reports in Houston are, how can we get out of his contract?
Are you serious?
No.
He had an amazing first half, though.
This has been building.
He was on fire. He couldn't miss yesterday.
He is all but done there. Granted, it's week four, all right?
Yeah.
They have plenty of time to turn it around. But Indianapolis is winning. Tennessee is winning. Granted, their quarterback could be out for 2 months now. Jake Locker could be out 2 months. Houston has, as those are the two best defenses in football yesterday, mm-hmm. on paper.
Okay.
The two best defenses. And the quarterback gave the game away. Jonathan Joseph with that stupid penalty on the body slam there put the Seahawks in field goal range. It is crisis this morning in Houston. They blew it.
Almost out of time. How are the Steelers 0-4?
Wow. Well, they've lost four games.
Thank you. That's good. That's good math.
Thank you.
How are they 0-4? They can't block anybody.
They don't have blocks.
Is that the easiest way to say?
Offensive line is bad?
Their center got hurt on the first drive of the season. They cannot block anybody. So London Bridge is falling down and Big Ben is falling down and everyone in the they are a mess. They're an absolute mess.
Weren't you so sad that that was the game we exported this week, was the two winless teams?
We're exporting two 0-3 teams. You know what? I'll say this, and I'm not trying to be just an NFL apologist here. They're actually marquee teams in terms of like the Steelers are a brand. I mean, the Steelers are as big a brand as there is other than the Cowboys.
Sure.
Steeler fans would argue they're a bigger brand than the Cowboys. So even though they are 0-3, they did have a quarterback named Big Ben.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
See the tie.
They are a marquee franchise.
Okay.
A marquee franchise. And then you have the Vikings. Adrian Peterson is a star among stars. And it's a rematch of Super Bowl IX. Not that anybody remembers that. But it was actually, in terms of selling the game in London, as easy a sell as they've ever had.
No kidding. Wow.
They had 500,000 people show up for this ridiculous NFL street fest party thing. Everyone drinks beer on Saturday deal.
So that game played way bigger in England than it would have played in America.
Much bigger in England.
That would have been the dog of the week in America.
Deal there. Couple 0-3 teams here.
How about that? Wow. All right, listen, before we go, what's NFL Around the League live today at 3 o'clock on the NFL Network? What do you got going on?
Yeah, we get you ready for the game tonight. 2-3-0 teams, the Saints and the Dolphins, and we have reaction to the dumpster fires, I'm assuming, in New York with the Giants, in Philadelphia with the Eagles, and in Pittsburgh with the Steelers.
Okay. Andrew Siciliano, follow him on Twitter, at Andrew Siciliano.
Can I pick up my phone now?
Don't forget, DirecTV Red Zone NFL Sundays through DirecTV.com. Thanks, Andrew.
Goodbye. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Our old friend Jack Black from Tenacious D.
Jack Black
joins us in studio coming up after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and he's bringing in some Ghostbusters with us, Amanda and Maria from the Ghost Girls. Well, yeah, but they're Ghostbusters. I mean, that's what they do on this show is they catch ghosts.
Do we have security by every bathroom?
Stop. Man had one bad day.
Oh, bad day.
Forever.
Gave us a bad week.
I'm not sure those pipes will ever recover from the last time Black was in the building. I'm with Kevin, man. Don't let him go. Make him hold it. Anyway, that's the 9 o'clock hour straight ahead here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office from over the weekend to see what people went to see at the movies. Cloudy with a chance of meatballs too. Did very well for itself. $35 million. Made it number one. By far, Prisoners was the next best money-making movie, just $11.3 million. Then Rush. I don't like your British guy. I don't like your German guy. It made $10.3 million. Third place. Baggage Claim came in at number four. The strong debut at $9.3 million. That one, remember that scene where the luggage tag came off? And they didn't know who the bag belonged
and
to.
And those two guys thought it was theirs.
And they both thought, oh, like, no, I got a luggage tag on mine. Well, there was no tag here. And then
but it fell off.
And then the guy comes over with the cart and he says, oh, your car's waiting, sir. And then, oh, man, it's good.
I hope they make a sequel where everybody from the plane is standing around carousel 14 and then they make a change and the luggage actually comes off on 16. Everybody's going to get up and move over to the next one.
Nuts.
Crazy.
Don Juan. Fifth? No, Don John, rather. The Jogo Lev movie. $9 million, made it number five. Insidious Chapter 2. Instructions not included. We're the Millers, The Butler, and Enough Said, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this week. And Daniel Radcliffe says he has found a way to ease his stress since he quit drinking. Sometimes quit drinking can make you a little tense.
You're used to, you know, maybe having a cocktail to take the edge off after a bad day. He says he's found a new way to ease his stress. I'm thinking, what, meditation? Yoga?
Yeah, that's Pilates. Usually something like that.
No, he started smoking pot. He says now he's smoking
pot. Yeah! We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Love it.
Lends a whole new meaning to Harry Potter, doesn't it? See what I did there?
Oh, because pot.
And I put that right there in the name of his most popular
Potter.
Character. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Bongicus! He waves his wand and a big bong appears. Speaking of drugs and celebrity, Zac Efron has reportedly said bye-bye to cocaine after two visits into rehab this year to kick the nose candy. He says he's clean and healthy and enjoying his time off on vacation in Peru. Yeah, Peru.
What a coincidence.
You want to stay clear of coke, Peru's the place to go. You know, reminds me of that time when I quit pineapple and I went to Hawaii. I remember I was swearing off pineapples and I didn't want to eat those anymore, so I went to Hawaii just to enjoy a nice vacation.
Yes. Yeah, that doesn't seem ideal.
Awesome. He's sent out a picture on the internet of himself on a mountaintop in Peru. It's a big white mountain. I don't know where that mountain is, but he's got a straw in both noses. Maybe it must be rarefied air up there. He probably needed extra oxygen.
I'm sure that's what was going
that's
on.
That's what's going on. Modern Family is thinking about spinning off one of their supporting characters into a new sitcom. Deadline.com is reporting that the new show would revolve around Gil Thorpe, who is the rival real estate agent against Ty Burrell's character Phil Dunphy. Rob Riggle has played him in several episodes on the show, and producers are so impressed by Rob's performance in that character, thinking of spinning Gil Thorpe off into his own show.
All right.
Yeah. Remember the time Gil hired Phil Dunphy's wife to work for him?
I don't remember.
You remember that episode?
No, I don't remember that one.
He just keeps talking to her like, yeah, your wife's in my office. Oh, she's bending over. She's picking something up. Just making him nuts. It was pretty strong.
I don't, I like Modern Family, but it's just not one that I watch regularly anymore.
What?
I know.
You don't know. Honestly, you can't, you'd be watching it.
You can't watch them all.
Let me just back up. How do you pick shows then that you watch?
It's a good show. I like that show, but I choose not to watch it.
I only watch the ones I don't like.
What shows do you watch?
It's the only way I have time to see everything.
If you're not watching the ones you like, what's your criteria for the show that you do watch?
What kind of a system do you have?
My point is, no one has time to watch all the shows they want, and Modern Family is one that I oftentimes get to the end of the week and just end up deleting. But my question is, Manny is growing up. Isn't he like 18 now or something like that?
That's the weird part. He looks exactly the same today on that show as he did
really?
4 years ago.
He does, but he talks like Darth Vader a little.
Luke is the one that's grown up.
Yeah,
between last
right.
season and this season, I watched the premiere episode this season, and now Luke is like 6 feet tall and has a mustache. I was like, how many years was the show off the air?
That happened with Max on Parenthood, too, where all of a sudden he's bigger than Dad.
Crazy.
It's just kind of weird. But I was just wondering, because part of the draw of the Manny character, and he's so funny, that little Rico Rodriguez, is that he says mature things for a little kid. And I'm wondering now if he's a teenager, if that comedy device still works on that show.
It still does. He's in his first year of high school now as the new season starts, and he's still wildly inappropriate.
He's hilarious. That's the spinoff I want, is Manny's World.
Yeah, he took the summer off, traveled to see his mom's family in Colombia, and now he's back, and he claims that he is a jet setter and man of the world now. So he's still wise beyond his years, that Manny. Good stuff right there.
The show could be called Oh, That Manny.
Oh, That Manny. Could be called I Have a Horn. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper T-Pain, he's 29 years old today. Got any T-Pain music in?
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Figured I can't beat him, join him.
Yeah, thank you.
At this point. Kieran Culkin is 31. Lacey Chabert is 31 as well. Jenna Elfman turns 42. As long as L. Ron Hubbard says it's okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you were here. Were you here when she...
Oh, yeah, I remember that. She took you to task, son. Yeah. She took you out to the woodshed, as we used to say back in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it was a shock.
A lot of woodsheds back in Philly.
It was a shocker.
Yeah.
I did not expect to be assaulted by her.
Tony Hale, he's 43 years old today. How good is he on Veep?
And
everything, actually.
Great on everything.
Monica Bellucci. Hey, how you go, Monica Bellucci? She is 49 years old. Eric Stoltz. 52 years old today. You probably know him best as star of Mask, but he's also a very talented director now in his own right.
Well, you gotta get behind the camera when you got a, you know, the face like that. I mean, that's tough. Not a good look.
Come on, he was dying. Yeah, we know.
Mask.
We know what, who he was.
We get it.
No.
It's come on.
Yeah, he was the original Marty McFly. He was the original Marty McFly.
He was.
In Back to the Future. Yeah. Robert Zemeckis shot with him for several weeks before everyone turned to each other on the set and goes, this really isn't working out. And so they let him go and they brought in Michael J. Fox.
Wow, that had to hurt to then see it go on to be one of the biggest, most successful franchises in history.
That's got
to
sting a bit. But he did get to do some kind of wonderful.
Yeah. Which he was great in.
He got that. And Barry Williams, you know him best as Greg Brady. Of all his many roles, I think Greg Brady still is the one that stands out for me. Yeah, he is 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Jack Black spotted with a much younger and attractive woman. I don't know if the gossip columns are going to go crazy with this, Jack. What's happening?
Yeah, you know, this is strictly business. No funny business here. Now, what do you mean spotted? We're on the radio, aren't we?
Yeah, but
no one can see this.
He can see you.
Just saying, you're together. That's all. Hi, Amanda Lund. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
Hanging out with your Uncle Jack Black.
Yeah, Uncle Jack.
That's what they always say in the movies is, oh, no, that's my uncle. This is my visiting niece.
Why are you turning this into a creepy thing?
Bean turns everything into a creepy thing.
I'm a producer in Hollywood. Nothing could be more wholesome.
That's true.
Jack, let me ask you one thing we know about Hollywood.
Let me ask you a question. Why, when we were talking off the air, did you have your sunglasses off? And then when we went on the air, you put your sunglasses on.
It's true. You know, I didn't
Why
even
did
think
that
about
happen?
It. That was an unconscious, I think it's like a psychological thing. It's my shield. It protects me from your barbs.
That won't protect you from anything.
All right,
you
I'm taking
that.
Them off.
Take them off. Thank you. Now I feel better.
That was very Kanye for a minute there with you having the glasses on during an interview.
It's kind of bright in here, let's be honest.
All right, let's get some mood lighting for Mr. Black, for our temperamental star.
You got like 35 lights up on the ceiling here.
We'll turn
them
down. We'll make it real mood-like.
Yeah,
moody.
Let's light some candles.
There we go. Yeah.
Now listen, the reason the kids are here today, and we love Amanda, and we're so excited to talk about Ghost Girls, but we have to take care of some business first. I apologize, Amanda, but you have to let us handle
it. Wait, do what you got
to
do.
Do we need to take care of it first, or would it be better last?
Because this might end, the conversation might end, and Jack may get up during the break and run to the restroom. Mm. Jack, remember last time you were here.
Now, do we really have to? I know where you're going. Do we really have to go there?
That's what I said. Do we have
to? I do remember the last time I was here. We were talking about Festival Supreme. Go on.
Yes. Which we're going to, yes. And you left us a present and then went about your day. Now
hold on. Before he went about his day, I will say, to Jack's credit, he leaned his head into the office and said,
yeah, I said,
you're going to need to call a plumber.
Yeah, someone needs to call a plumber.
Right.
If anything, I think you owe me an apology.
Hold on.
You provide a toilet for your guests, and it's assumed that it's going to be a functional one. Okay?
It was functional.
It's early in the morning. I just had my coffee. A man's a man. It's only human. What happened
was not human.
It
didn't. It was alien.
Amanda, I should let you know. Last time I was here, I dropped a load and in the restroom where you're supposed to.
Right.
And then it didn't flush.
Right.
How terrifying.
Okay, so then he said you better call a plumber. We all laughed. We all thought it was funny. So then the people came in at night. It was still a destruction zone.
Yeah.
So they all got mad at us because why didn't you call? So then the next day we had to call a plumber. And I think it took like another day to come out. There was a big sign on there, the Jack Black restroom.
Well,
stay away.
I brought my own plumber today.
You did.
Because I know how you guys.
What we're saying is you're suspended from using the restrooms at K-Rock until you can prove that you can handle it like an adult. Okay.
You know what? I took care of my business at home.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right.
You smell them.
Tell us how you,
at least
Jack
it wasn't
Black,
an upper decker. You know,
that's true.
And we appreciate
that. Although it could have been both.
How did you, Jack Black, rock star and international film star, end up being a producer on the hilarious Yahoo web series called Ghost Girls? How did this happen? How did you and Amanda meet and make this magic happen?
You know, I just wasn't satisfied with being a star. I wanted to work behind the scenes. I like putting on a show, you know? It's like throwing a party when you put together a funny show. And I was on the lookout for other things that I thought were cool. And this friend of mine, a mutual friend of ours, Jeremy Connor, who directs another incredible show called Drunk History.
Love it so much.
And he also directed a Tenacious D video, To Be the Best, and I just think he's awesome. He came to me and he said, hey, I met these girls. They're incredibly talented. They're super funny, and I want to do this show with them they came up with called Ghost Girls. And I said, well, yeah. And they had this little 10-minute pilot that they shot with, like, 50 cents and some shoestring.
50 Cent was in it?
No.
I wish. Which,
I didn't say 50 Cent.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But it was dynamite. It was hilarious, and it was a no-brainer. I was like, yeah. And now,
so what do you do now? What's your role now as... Are you producer?
See, now you're going to get into the fine details of what I do on a day-to-day basis as a producer.
Because I don't think you do anything.
I drop a load and I walk away. No. I make a lot of phone calls. I get the cast together. And really the producer's job in my mind is to be a liaison between the artiste and the
English
studio.
Only on this show, Jack. English only,
oh,
please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I bust your mind with some French?
Liaison. Now, Amanda.
I'm the middleman.
Let me ask about you and your little friend Maria, who doesn't care about the Kevin and Bean show enough to be here.
Oh, she's so upset. She's in her car right now driving.
Tell us.
Road rage right now. She's like bumping cars.
I know.
Tell us where you guys came from. What was your backstory before we got to Ghost Girls?
Well, we had met in college doing a play at Loyola Marymount University. Go Lions, I think.
You don't know.
You think?
I
like that.
I don't. I like it. You don't know. Definitely the Lions. And we just started doing our own sort of web content, web series, and doing improv at Improv Olympic in Hollywood. And eventually we actually met Jeremy Connor, the director of Drunk History, who Jack was just talking about, in a park randomly one day.
You met him in a park.
He was playing.
This is the shadiest story of all. You're all telling the shadiest story I've ever heard.
It's very perverted. Okay. And he was playing the musical Saw, and we just hit it off and decided to work together. And then he connected
us with
Jack.
I'm sorry. He was playing the musical Saw.
Yeah, yes. He's in a band. It was a crazy band where he plays the Saw, and he plays it quite proficiently.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like a cello, but it's
I've seen people play the Saw. I just didn't know it was still like a real thing.
Apparently it is.
So but they did invent real instruments at some point, too, so we don't have to play the Saw anymore, right?
Well, I mean, that's your choice.
That's right.
But it's kind of a flipped situation, because usually the director discovers the talent out in the park doing some kind of a show.
But you're doing something.
You discovered the director, and then you guys discovered each other. It's kind of a... Cool
so
story.
Was Ghost Girls an idea you already had and had been doing in some other format before you started filming it for Yahoo or no?
No. Well, we had these kind of characters that we used in a lot of our other stuff. And then we just are both Maria and I and Jeremy. We're all fans of the paranormal genre. So we just thought that would be a really cool place to set these kind of silly characters.
Now, I know this is going to sound like a dumb question from an out of touch old guy. Mm-hmm. But I watched like 5 episodes of your show on screen.yahoo.com. Yahoo.com over the weekend, and it's so good I kept thinking, why isn't it on television? Is that a stupid question? Because now we don't need to be on TV, right?
No, it's not. It's a good question.
Well, you know, the Yahoo were the we took it all over town, and Yahoo were the ones that that got it, you know. And
who said no?
I'm not going to tell you who said
give us
no.
A list.
Everyone. No.
But I think in general the big networks are a little more cautious with everything, and there were some groundbreaking different things about this.
But Jack, don't you agree with me that it's better than probably 75% of things that are on network television right now?
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes that can work against you, you know. The studio heads, they want to make money, and they're just thinking about what's been successful in the past, and and so they miss out on some real gems, because you got to go to some uncharted terrain if you want something fresh, but... play it safe.
I'm with Bean. I had not heard of Ghost Girls until this had come up, and I watched it, and you like it instantly.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you guys watched it.
Yeah, it's instantly funny. You just go, wow, I feel like I've been watching this show for a long time.
You know, you're right, and I think it's because the girls, Maria and Amanda, are such talented improvisational actors, and they're so subtle and funny in a fresh way that I haven't seen before.
Yeah, we have a great comedic chemistry. You're not going to see it this morning, but check out Ghost Girls.
But
it's great.
I say, though, the best way to see it is if you go to your computer and type ghostgirls.com, and the girls has a H in it.
G-H-I-R-L-S. Right.
That's the
best way. That's a good tip for anyone getting started on the internet is misspell something. It makes it so much easier to find.
Well, apparently Ghost Girls without the H was already taken by some other.
Yeah, we thought it was kind of a funny joke. We don't know what it means. But
the silent H, it's a great thing to,
It's a web-only paranormal comedy about two girlfriends who possess special powers. They're basically ghost-busting, and we'll talk a little bit more about the series and about some of the amazing guest stars you've already had in the episodes that you've put together. And we're going to talk a little bit more with Jack Black about the upcoming Festival Supreme, because it is less than 3 weeks away. It's the world's greatest comedy festival happening in Santa Monica. We'll talk about that and give some tickets away, too. That's all coming up here on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Our friend Jack Black in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show, along with his friend Amanda Lund. She is one of the stars of Ghost Girls at GhostGirls.com. That's girls with an H, or you can see it on screen.yahoo.com. By the way, maybe Maria isn't absent as much as she's just a ghost. Maybe she's here, but she's a ghost, you guys.
Yeah, you can't see her, you can't hear her, but you can feel her.
She's floating towards us in her ghost car, white knuckling at us.
Well, the show Ghost Girls is hilarious. And real quick, before we move on, Amanda, tell folks who are going to be, I think, amazed the kinds of guest stars you've already had on your web series, Ghost Girls.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Well, I'm going to start with the best one ever, which is Jack Black.
Oh, that doesn't
maybe
count.
How
did you get that guy?
That guy's a dick.
And we had to make a lot of phone calls. We've got Val Kilmer. We've got Dave Grohl, Bob Odenkirk, Molly Shannon, Jason Ritter, Jason Schwartzman.
That's like a dream come true to have to get a series that's as high profile and as well done as this, but B, to have all those people guest starring right out of the gate is amazing.
Oh my gosh, it was totally a dream come true. It was
really Odenkirk's
cool.
Episode is hilarious, by the way.
Thank you. That's one of my favorites.
Very funny. All right, speaking of Mr. Odenkirk, Jack Black, Festival Supreme. I remember you debuting the information. You and Kyle came in a couple of months ago to tell us this was going to be happening in October on the Santa Monica Pier. Now we're getting close. Refresh everybody's memory what it's all about.
Well, it's a comedy and music festival, heavy on the comedy. And we just called all of our favorite comedians who we knew had some musical chops and had written hilarious songs in the past. And they all said yes, pretty much.
There's not a lot of those.
No. Well, no, that's, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of comedy bands, but there's a lot of comedy shows that have funny songs in them. Like Mr. Show, if you remember back in the day, they had some incredibly funny songs on their show. They'll be headlining one of the tents. I shouldn't give too much info about the actual like lineup of when people are playing in the day, because apparently that's like a top secret thing. Like
you're not supposed to let that out?
With like Coachella, they don't tell you.
They don't give you a lineup.
They don't even
like
tell you who's in the show at Coachella.
That's
true. They sell out before they even tell you who's in. But I can tell you that we've just added Tim Minchin. And,
who's awesome.
And also Patton Oswalt has joined our mighty ship. And we got Mr. Show, Tim and Eric, the Mighty Boosh, for those of you who don't know, are the funniest people in Great Britain, in the U.K.,
okay.
England. What do you say about that area of the world?
Well, they all mean different things.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what I'm saying. you got Zach Galifianakis going to throw down, and he's got some musical surprises in store.
Yeah, because he does his stand-up, and he kind of plays piano while he does his thing, right?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler, the Gregory Brothers are going to be performing live.
Yeah. You guys ever play the Gregory Brothers on K-Rock?
We do.
They got incredibly funny songs, but they're usually pretty blue.
Yeah,
but they're the dudes that songify the news, and they did Double Rainbow and a bunch of other incredible songs. And you don't see them live very often, so this is kind of a special thing for them.
This really is. I mean, I don't know what you would even compare this to, Jack, in terms of the number of comedians that you have in one place at one time.
Well,
I mean,
that's
it's kind of insane.
Well, that's it. We like to compare it to Woodstock. We call it the Woodstock of comedy. Because there hasn't really been a music comedy festival before.
But not Woodstock 99.
No, not that buddy.
I'm just checking.
No.
Woodstock 99 was a good Woodstock. It was Woodstock 2004 that sucked.
Oh, is that the one that sucked?
Let's keep the record straight here.
Right. I think this is going to be a pretty mellow crowd, though. It's going to be pretty sophisticated.
Garfunkel and Oates, Craig Robinson and his band, The Nasty Delicious, who we had play Foolishness a couple years ago, who are just hilarious. And how is this all going to work down there at Santa Monica? You're doing it right on the pier, Jack?
Yeah, well, we were looking all over the city for the perfect venue, and it turns out it's tough to find real estate in L.A. for a big festival. There's no big parks that you can commandeer. There's and it was important to us that was, you know, very, if not in L.A., very close. And it was a perfect place because it's the pier. You don't have to even tell people the address. You go,
right.
Yeah, come to our festival. It's on the Santa Monica Pier. And it's such a beautiful place. You see the ocean and the beach, and it's a fun destination. You got the roller coaster rides right there. You got an arcade that's going to be inside our festival grounds. Free arcade games, just in case you get sick of laughing. You can go play some pinball.
While I'm tired of laughing, and you go play a game.
But I should also say we got some great Saturday Night Live alums represented. We got Maya Rudolph's band Princess. It's all nice. Prince covers with the ladies singing them hilariously. We got Fred Armisen. He's got a band. And Will Forte, who blows my mind every time he goes on stage.
Unbelievable lineup. I mean, it sounds like we're joking. It sounds like we're making it up because all these people are going to be at one night. But let me give out the information again. It's October 19th at the Santa Monica Pier. 27 of the best comedians around, including the D, by the way, which I don't even think we mentioned, are going to be performing.
Are you allowed to mention when you're going to play?
No.
Okay.
But,
all right.
You know, we're the hosts of the thing, and we're throwing the party, so we'll probably give ourselves the sweet spot. Let's be honest.
Tickets are available through Ticketmaster.com for just $99. There's also a VIP package you can buy that includes a VIP viewing platform of the main stage with a VIP bar, access to the golden toilets,
yeah,
Jack, and
true.
Special merchandise, Ticketmaster.com. Or you can call K-Rock right now. We're giving away some tickets at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10, 11, and 12. You win tickets to the upcoming Festival Supreme, October 19th at the Pier. By the way, what about your little friends, the Ghost Girls? Are they making any kind of an appearance, or have you already forgotten about them?
You know, there are some funny songs in our show, Ghost Girls.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You can buy them on iTunes.
You know, it's too late to squeeze you guys into the festival, but maybe you guys could like be performing right out at the front.
Well, I don't have any musical talent. I kind of could play Hot Cross Buns on the clarinet, but that's it.
Oh, please do that.
How can you say you don't have musical talent if you can do that on the clarinet?
Okay, well, I'll let you hear it, and then we can talk about it.
You've heard it here first. Amanda may be playing clarinet at the festival.
That's going to get a lot of people. Those tickets are going to...
They're going to fly out the door. Amanda, what's the instrument called that Maria plays in the stripper episode of Ghost Girls? What's that instrument with the keyboard that she plays?
Okay, good question. I forget what that's called, but it's the thing you blow into and then you play a little.
Yeah,
keyboard.
I'm sorry.
I think it's called the clavicle. The blow.
What is it called, Maria? Text me what it's called. I forget what that's called.
I think between the two of you, it sounds like you guys are playing the parking lot of the Festival Supreme.
It's
all
the
right.
Morgan.
We're almost out of time. What would Maria have said at this point in the interview as we got ready to say goodbye?
I mean, she probably would have been like, "I love you guys. I've listened to you since I was a kid."
What do you think she's saying right now?
I think she's saying, I can't say it.
Yeah,
on,
you can't say it.
She's thinking she'll never work in this town again, but it's not true. You guys don't have a blacklist.
We don't. Here's what Bean and I will tell you is that we rarely agree on stuff. We're very different people, but this show is great. Ghost
Hilarious.
Girls.
Really
Thank
funny.
You.
It's
great.
You should be really proud.
If you're
it's
a
awesome.
Fan of our show, you will love this show.
Oh, thanks, man.
Ghost Girls, that's girlswithanh.com, or you can go to screen.yahoo.com. And again, Festival Supreme happening in October 19th at Santa Monica Pier. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Black, Amanda Lund, stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for having us.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:37.
Congratulations to our latest Not Scary Farm winner, Cesar Segura from Pomona. Just won tickets all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, and all week long on K-Rock. We'll be giving away front-of-the-line passes for all 12 mazes at Not Scary Farm. By the way, tomorrow, October begins, and I think you know what song that means we start the show.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Right? Haven't
That's
we been waiting
right.
11 months for tomorrow?
The guy celebrates half Christmas. And you missed it, Kevin. Last week he celebrated three-quarter Christmas.
Oh, why does that happen?
But we don't get Halloween spooks until it's officially October.
We shouldn't get Halloween spooks until the week of at best.
We should get half Halloween and three-quarters Halloween at least.
It's all getting very confusing, the holiday schedule, that's for sure. Anyway, Ralph, it's your time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
That Maria chick's dead to us, right? She's dead to us.
She's so the one that suggested they get on.
I don't care if she becomes the biggest movie star in the world. She'll never be on this damn show, right? You with me, fellas?
We're with you.
All right.
We're with you.
Let's stand with the Withers here.
Doesn't she get some sort of pass? Like, maybe she really did get caught in some terrible, terrible traffic, and it's not her fault. She had the best of intentions to come in.
Who could have guessed in Los Angeles? You sometimes have to account for traffic when you're trying to be somewhere during rush hour.
She seems like a sweet
girl,
though.
She's dead to us.
It's a very funny show, though.
Well, I hope the lovely Amanda is able to get her own solo show, is all I'm hoping. I hope there's a spinoff called Ghost Girl.
Get rid of the unreliable one.
Where the good one goes off and has a smash hit series, and the other one ends up working at Arby's. That's all I'm saying.
That might happen, man.
She's dead to us. You hear me, Maria? If you're listening, you're dead to us.
Oh, see, this is just sad now. She seems like a nice lady.
Well, no, she doesn't. She doesn't seem like a nice lady at all, because nice ladies show up on time to their appointments.
Well, I can't argue with that.
That's right. She's a slattern. That's what I think she is. I'm not afraid to say it either. Yeah, I don't care.
You're
FCC,
not.
Find me. I said it. She's a slattern. All right, let's talk about show business news, besides the fact that Marie's unreliable. That's story one. I want everyone to Hollywood to know that. I want that to get around the industry.
That's right.
Because you cast her, she probably won't even show up on set. That's what I'm guessing. Where is she? I don't know. She's not in her trailer. Is she even here yet? We don't know. There's just hundreds of thousands of dollars. The clock is ticking.
Everybody's sitting around the set
waiting for Maria to show up. Forget about it.
Well, she said she was going to be here. Yeah, that didn't mean anything coming from her.
Says that a lot. Apparently, she never shows up.
Lying liar who lies.
That's right. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Cloudy with a Chance of Meet the Balls. 2. Did its debut, $35 million. Not too shabby. That's why they made a second one, I guess.
Yeah,
the first
one
did very well, and I'm guessing Meatballs 3 is not far from being on the screen. Prisoners. $11.3 million made it number 2. Rush. In its debut, $10.3 million. I'm surprised more people didn't go see that. I think a lot of people were disappointed when they found out Geddy Lee was not in the movie. That must have been
That's
what we were hoping.
It's not the band.
How can they recast Geddy Lee?
It's not the band
with
Rush.
Liam Hemsworth or Chris Hemsworth, one of those Hemsworth boys.
Has nothing to do with the band.
Well, that was their problem. People got there and they said they want their money back.
No Tom Sawyer, no peace. That's what I said.
That's right. I don't need to see Neil Peart driving around in a race car. That doesn't do anything for me. How do you fit your gong into a race car? That's what they're asking about, Neil Peart.
Are they asking that?
They're asking that. Baggage Claim was 4th, $9.3 million.
I'm still saying that's not a movie.
Baggage Claim, the movie. It's all one long shot of just a carousel going around with a trunk on it.
Yeah. Can you grab it this time?
No,
I tried.
It's too crowded. We get,
just get, wait. It'll come
near,
back.
Get, no, get near the conveyor belt.
It'll
where it
come back around.
Ugh. 2 hours of that. Don John. That Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he's a talent.
He is.
He sure is.
He directed this as well as stars in it. And his debut made $9 million. Insidious Chapter 2 was 6th. Instructions Not Included, We're the Millers, The Butler, and Enough Said. Rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Bob Hope's home in Toluca Lake is up for sale. Finally.
I'll take it.
What's that house been doing since Bob passed? When did he die? In the 80s? Has it just been sitting there?
I think he probably died about 10 years ago, didn't he?
Yeah. What's it been doing for 10 years? What's been going on?
Mothballs.
Has Dolores been rattling around in there?
I don't know.
I heard it's
She's
a crack
too.
I heard it's
a crack den.
Yeah. Here's what you can get if you buy Bob Hope's home in Toluca Lake, California. 15,000 square feet of living space. 8 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, an indoor pool and spa, a guest home, and a sex dungeon.
I'm sorry.
Are you sure about that last part? Yeah. A lot of people don't know that, but Bob was kinky.
I think you just added that
Bob
to the story.
Bob was into S&M.
He wasn't
he
at
was.
All. I don't think that's the case.
Hey, Dolores, put this ball gag in your mouth. Yeah. That's hot, isn't it? But I want to tell you, hey, how about this cat of nine tails? How's that feel on your ass, Dolores? Yeah.
I don't think
Bob
that
was
happened.
A dom.
That would have been awesome.
That'd be the best. Also sits on 5 acres of land. All of this can be yours for the low, low price of $27.5 million.
That's something.
That sure is, Bob. That's something. Yeah. That
one. Well, you know, you
right.
Maybe we should call Bob in heaven and see what's going on.
I would enjoy that.
I've got 2 Oscars right in there, 2 honorary Oscars right in there. The case right there.
Yeah.
By the way, that
I use them on Dolores down there in the dungeon.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
I plug her orify. You know what I'm saying? Airtight.
That tape is from an actual Kevin and Bean interview of Bob Hope in that house. We went to visit that house, saw his memorabilia and his office, his desk and everything. He was really old then.
Hold on. You saw his desk?
We did.
How do you get to that kind of access into Hollywood? Desks of the Stars with Bean Baxter.
This worries me that I was also apparently there and have zero memory of it.
Well, it was a long time ago, dude.
Well, concussion boy.
And you hate old people, so why would you remember Bob Hope?
Yeah. That'll teach you to step off a moving party bus. That's why.
That's right.
If you did that less, you'd remember more. Here's the thing. Bean can't remember anything about his own life.
Right.
His own childhood is a blank to him.
Yeah.
But he can remember in fine detail Bob Hope's desk.
We saw the bladder.
Too. Oh, we saw the bladder. And the calendar was on there, too. Yeah.
My God, there was a pen.
There was an inkwell. Got an ass full of both of you, and it's Monday.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I want to tell you. Hey, how about this spike dildo, huh? That's something. You do not want to get in the sex dungeon with Bob.
No, you don't.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Barry Williams, Brady extraordinaire. 59 years old today. Eric Stoltz, he turns 52 years old.
Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, what?
I know you're so close to being done.
So,
just,
so
all you want to do is just say goodbye.
Well, I just got a chapped ass because Maria didn't show up. She doesn't.
Well, that's why I'm interrupting, is because your ultimate foe, Maria, is on the phone.
Bring it on. How dare she call in here?
Our former friend, Maria, from the Ghost Girls, apparently is on the phone.
You guys. This is Maria.
Hey, Maria. You're dead to us.
I'm so sorry. I got so sick last night, and I had to take a sleeping pill.
And by sick, you mean drunk, right?
No.
And by sick, you mean high.
I need you guys to know this. I need you to listen to me carefully.
All right.
All right.
I love your show.
Liar.
I listen to it every morning.
Well, you certainly proved that today.
It was obvious when you showed up all here today how much you love us.
You were very excited when you were here. Oh, wait.
I dream of getting a bell on when it's my birthday.
Do you?
Sorry.
Ralph, please.
Good luck with that.
Ralph,
you're
going
to have to buy your own bell.
What can I do?
Amanda was here on time.
Yeah, your co-star seemed to be able to make it.
Jack Black, the co-producer of Ghost Girls, he was here. He has to have a pretty busy schedule. I'm sure he had a lot of things he'd rather be doing this morning, but he managed to make it into the show.
Guys.
All right, here's your answer. We will interview you in studio tomorrow morning at 5:30.
If you're being serious, I'm in.
He's not being serious because you're dead to us. We're never going to interview you. That's never going to happen, Maria.
Well, it was a pleasure to talk to you now.
We love you. We're just kidding, but you're not welcome.
Did you listen to the interview with your friends?
Yes, of course I did. I was in my car dying.
Where were you exactly in your car? Where were you? During that half hour.
In the driver's seat.
I know, but
not physically in the car.
I know that.
Where was the car in relationship to us?
Right.
On the road.
What road?
All right. Were you really in the car? And if so, were you driving toward K-Rock?
Yes. I was on Venice when you ended your interview. I mean, I'm still on Venice right now. It would be weird for me to not say that I'm sitting, like, outside of your...
Oh, that's sad. Well, it could have gone differently.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm a huge fan. I listen to you every morning. This is but it's a dream come true to talk to you.
Well, we used to be fans of yours as well, Maria, but we appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
You didn't know who I was.
When you wonder what happened to your career, I want you to look back on this event and say, if only I had done things differently.
I believe me, I'll be asking myself for the rest of my life.
All right, Maria.
We do love the show, though, Maria. It's very funny.
The show is good in spite of you.
We're big fans of Ghost Girls.
Thanks, guys. Ghostgirls.com. Girls with an H.
All right. We already promoted it when your friends were here.
Yes. When people who cared showed
When the
up.
Good people were here, right.
Yes.
All right. Bye now.
Bye, Maria.
Bye.
Bye, Maria.
It's a shame. Seems like a nice kid.
Yeah. I know. I feel bad to hate her now.
Yeah, it's too bad.
I mean, I still do, but I feel bad.
Birthdays, blah, 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 blah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look them up yourself.
Yeah, really.
Don't be lazy. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Donald Logue talking Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, he's a bad person.
They all are. We have Jeff Garland from the Goldbergs.
He's a good person.
We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have the new USC coach, Petros Papadakis. And we have, from New Girl, Max Greenfield. All tomorrow morning.
Wow.
You know who's not going to be on tomorrow morning's show?
Maria.
Maria, that's right. We'll see.